Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 47 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the 17 John Elway Showrooms. Denver police are looking for three men they believe were involved in a break-in that ended in murder. Investigators say a man was killed, another injured, as he tried to fight off the attackers. The attack happened Wednesday night in the 300 block of South Pecos around 10 p.m. Witnesses told police they heard the front door of the home being kicked in, followed by a gunshot. Police don't have a description of the suspects. Anyone with information on the break-in and attack is asked to contact Denver police immediately. Police in Lakewood are asking the public for help in finding a van they say was involved in a hit-and-run earlier this week. They say a brown van hit a man as he was walking near 13th and Allison around 5:30 Monday afternoon. The van then took off. The man was hit by a second car, but that driver stayed at the scene and waited for police. Lakewood police spokesman Steve Davis describes the hit-and-run vehicle as a light brown and dark brown conversion van.
It had a lot of windows in the back. Some witnesses tell us it's probably a 80s or 90s model and a GMC or a Chevy van. There should be some damage to the grill and headlight area of that vehicle.
The victim was hospitalized in serious condition. As expected, it was a hectic day at the stores early this morning as shoppers tried to cash in on special deals. Large retailers like Walmart, Kmart, Target, and such stores were open at 6 this morning. Customers lined up since the wee hours, somewhere around midnight. The Westminster Mall opened early at 7 a.m. to long lines and anxious shoppers. Most other malls were full by 8 o'clock for their opening. Colorado Mills, Park Meadows, and Flatirons Crossing have been very busy all morning with jammed parking lots and long lines. Some lines outside local retailers began forming at midnight last night. A mortar attack in Iraq has killed another U.S. soldier hours after yesterday's surprise visit by President Bush to Baghdad. A military spokesperson says the soldier was killed when a bomb hit the headquarters of the 101st Airborne Division in Mosul. In a visit shrouded in secrecy, Bush yesterday landed at Baghdad International Airport and greeted some 600 American troops celebrating Thanksgiving. He arrived back home today just after midnight. A Grand Forks, North Dakota police lieutenant says investigators remain positive in their search for missing 22-year-old University of North Dakota senior Drew Shadeen. Lieutenant Byron Sieber says they're working on leads.
Based on the number of leads that are still coming in, it gives them a lot of things to work on, and sooner or later we're going to start seeing some correlations and hopefully have a positive result.
Sieber says morale can be a problem if searches go on too long without new leads, but that's not the case here. Shadeen disappeared Saturday from the Columbia Mall parking lot in Grand Forks. Investigators continue to search there and near Fisher, Minnesota, where a call from her cell phone was traced. Three foreign photographers have been acquitted on invasion of privacy charges. The three were taking pictures of Princess Diana and her boyfriend Dodi Al-Fayed the night they died in a car crash in Paris. A Paris court announced its verdict today. The case was built on a French law that says the interior of a car is private, even if it is on public roads. The photographers were charged following a complaint by Al-Fayed's father. What started out as a nice gesture by a St. Cloud, Minnesota man turned ugly on Thanksgiving. Bill Fickett's wife had just given birth to a baby last week, so Fickett volunteered to cook the turkey and set up a deep fryer in the garage. Unfortunately, before he could even get the bird in the oil, the fryer started on fire.
I always thought when I seen people on the news going, well, I'm not an idiot, I'll watch it, it ain't going to happen to you, but it happens a lot easier than you think it would.
The fire burned down the garage, destroying everything in it, and while Fickett does have insurance, he's still pretty bummed.
Probably still see it as that was a crappy Thanksgiving, but, I mean, what can you do?
It should be noted, though, that Fickett is not alone. According to Allstate Insurance, 15 homes around the country burned to the ground last Thanksgiving because of the improper use of turkey fryers. No word on how many houses were cooked this year. Two stuff to move from in front of the TV. Go check out some of the movies just released on video and DVD. X2 X-Men United has a gang of crime-fighting mutants trying to stop a plan that could eliminate every mutant on the planet. If you're looking for something more believable, check out Bruce Almighty, starring Jim Carrey as God. Or you might want to check out something more family-oriented. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, filmed in 1968, starring Dick Van Dyke, now available on DVD. In sports, the rivalry between CU and Nebraska continues today at Folsom Field in Boulder. Right now at the half, Nebraska leading that game 21-16. Colorado Avalanche on the ice tonight in Edmonton against the Oilers. Avs coming off their overtime Thanksgiving night win over Calgary. And the Denver Nuggets take to the court at the Pepsi Center tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. Nuggets come into tonight's game at 8-6 after their win over Phoenix on Tuesday. Still driving a car with big pay payments. The 17 John Elway showrooms want to swap cars with you. You'll end up making lower payments and have a new car. Let John Elway take your old car and lower your monthly payments. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Chocolate and the holidays, they just go together. Kind of like chocolate and romance, chocolate and dessert, chocolate and sex. Well, Greg Dobbs here, and maybe it's just me, but I think chocolate goes well with everything. And if you agree, you may want to try a taste of the best chocolate in Denver at Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. In fact, you might want to give your holiday gifts in chocolate, the finest Belgian chocolate you can find. In the shapes you want, I've ordered some dark chocolate microphones as gifts, inscribed with my message and my name for a few lucky recipients. Imagine something representing your product or your hobby, or maybe you'd like a chocolate company logo or just a business card in succulent chocolate. Whatever you want, they can do it. And wherever you want it to go, they can safely send it. Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. You can see more about what they do at their website, denverchocolate.com. But to smell it and taste it, they've always got wonderful samples to taste. Drop by. They're not actually on Fifth Avenue. They're on Steel Street in Cherry Creek North between 2nd and 3rd. Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. Oh, it's great.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of AT&T Wireless. For your most important calls, reach out on the wireless service America Trust, AT&T Wireless. Really looking good out there. We are accident-free. Of course, a lot of problems out at the malls, so take your time if you're going shopping. This traffic report is brought to you by XL Energy. Using a programmable thermostat can save you up to $75 a year. Visit the Home Energy Analyzer tool at xlenergy.com for more energy-saving tips. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy, breezy, and warmer today, 51. We do have high wind warnings up for above the timberline and east slopes of the Front Range tonight and Saturday. That does include Jefferson and West Douglas counties above 6,000 feet. Could find wind gusts up there to 80 miles an hour. Otherwise, into tonight, partly cloudy, breezy, 28. Partly cloudy and windy on Saturday, 59. Partly cloudy on Sunday, the high near 50. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 47 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon, I'm Enid Goldstein. I'm yours until 3 o'clock this afternoon.
You're not Enid.
Kind of, sort of. Well,
no, you're not.
Yeah, I'm not even a reasonable facsimile, am I? My name is Jerome Davis. The other voice is a well-known one here at KNRC, Mr. Bill Thorpe. Usually you get him from 6 to 9, Monday through Friday. But this is the holiday mode here at KNRC. And
sunshine out, I don't know what to do. Like a vampire.
Yeah. Did you do the shopping thing today?
No, I didn't. I actually went out to do the Festival of Trees, the breakfast out at the Wildlife Experience, which is real kind of south of town, I-25 in Lincoln, that area. And we're part of a sponsor of the Festival of Trees, and so I went out and did breakfast with Santa and stood on stage and did that thing this morning. But the fun part about it is, you know, going by the...
breakfast with Santa.
Yeah, it was cool. It was, you know, you show up there. It
wasn't Billy Bob, was it?
No, it wasn't that bad, okay. Santa. No, right. And so we sat down and had, you know, my son and I, and about, I would say, you know, 200 or 300 of our closest friends were all there. So it was really nice, a nice gathering. But I did go by the malls on the way there. And it's 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm going by Kohl's department store. Mm-hmm. The whole parking lot is full. At 8 o'clock, you cannot get a parking space. We go Park Meadows. I mean, driving by the places.
Now,
man.
I've been hearing stories about people, you know, waking up at ungodly hours, like 2, 3, 5 o'clock in the morning. And getting ready to go shopping, you know, preparing for the experience or ordeal, if you look at it like I do.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, what is the purpose of getting, you know, are people getting special deals, you know, are people saving money? Is it all about selection, you know, are the stores going to be mobbed in such a way that if you don't get there within 2 hours of opening, there won't be anything left to buy?
Well, it's really all about the dollar, and that's really what it is. It's all the specials, because I think some of the stores are doing like nearly 50% off and just a selection in the items. And it is, because, you know, they bring out all the selection, but I guess this is like the biggest or second biggest shopping day of the year.
Yeah.
And
well, I think it's the biggest shopping day of the year, the day after Thanksgiving.
And I always think it's funny, because all the people that complain about, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I have to go to work, all those people are up at 5 o'clock in the morning going, shop, shop, shop. And it's just, I don't understand all the power shopping, but yeah. I'm a good shopper. As a guy, I can shop. I mean, yeah, I can shop. Right. There's the thing where my wife...
I cannot shop. No. I'm not a shopper. I'm a buyer.
I like how your attitude towards it. I'm not a window shopper, but I love going through, and if I know what I'm looking for, mm-hmm. I'll go and I'll find it, and I like shopping. In fact, my wife will never, ever, ever go shopping with my mom and myself. She cannot keep up. My mom taught me well. My mom groomed me to shop.
Your wife can't keep up.
No,
huh?
she will not go. No, she will not go with us. With me, she's fine. But my mom, she's fine. But the both of us together, no. She will not even come close to us. She's like, you two are going? No, I'm staying home.
Well, I would imagine there may be more than a few people sitting in cars in parking lots and shopping centers right now. If you wish to regale us with tales of your shopping experiences today, 303-382-1150. Hey, we'll listen to you. We got a lot of other stuff happening today. Well, a couple of other things happening today. First of all, let's do some news, shall we, Mr. Thorpe?
Sure.
Let's see. A guy snuck into Baghdad yesterday, from what I understand. Yeah. What do you think about that?
The
president goes
night.
To Baghdad.
I know. To the cover of night, the darkness. And from where I looked at it, brilliant PR move.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely brilliant. He captures all of the news channels. It's a slower news day. It's a nice feel-good, touchy story.
Uh-huh.
Gets good camera, good press. It's the kind of thing, and I heard Arnie Grossman in this time slot the day before Christmas, or day before Thanksgiving, talking about, I'm jumping ahead of myself while shopping, heard him talking about where is Bill, and he was asking where's Bill Owens. You know, we have this crisis in the state as far as the flu epidemic, and why is Bill Owens not here, and then our good friend Jimmy Lakey, who filled in for Doug Kellett, followed up on that topic, saying, well, why does Bill have to be here? Why does he have to be here? You know, what's he going to do to help? And I think that this, as far as Bush going to Baghdad, is the answer to where's Bill, is the idea of it's a press opportunity. It's out there. You know, Bush is basically, he's out there shaking hands and saying that, yeah, he's there, he's involved. Mm-hmm. It's a different level when if you had Governor Owens here in the state walking around, going to the hospitals or talking to people and having press conferences and saying, you know, this is the flu epidemic, this is what we're doing. It shows that you're involved and that you're acting. And that, even if it is on a certain level window dressing, it does make the people feel better. And everybody that saw President Bush that's in favor of the action in Iraq and is happy about it feels much better that Bush went in there.
Yeah.
From the PR, Karl Rove, again, brilliant move.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know.
Yeah, well, I've been totally against the war from day one. I'm not a big Bush fan, but I can't fault the man this time. I give him a – got to tip my hat to the brother this time. You know?
I know. It was smart.
But you know, the whole trip kind of says something. We went from bring them on to sneak them in, you know, so to speak.
I mean,
this says a lot with regard to the security of the country.
Yeah.
That, you know, we've got this, you know, we've got troops on the ground and supposedly we've got the upper hand on things, you know, let the administration tell it. But yet you got to sneak the president of the United States in and out of the country. So
and don't tell anybody about it, I guess.
Don't even tell the Secret Service.
Didn't even tell his daughters until just before he was leaving.
Well,
and
they were probably too busy partying.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
they forget anyway.
Probably told dad to bring back some hash.
Exactly.
You know?
He said, come on, dad, I got some good stuff over there.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're like, I think dad told me something about going, I don't know. Where's the beer?
I think he went to the Bob's dad's house or something.
Yeah, I don't know where it was.
Bob's dad or something, So, but it was a good move in my opinion.
Yeah.
And when I first heard about it, you know, this image came to mind. I thought of, you know, thousands of jihadists in the country, you know, bemoaning the fact we had the infidel among us.
Yeah.
And we did not attack.
Yeah, exactly.
How stupid could we be? Allah would not forgive us, you know. I figured, you know. And but evidently his trip really, well, you know, I'm sure it boosted a lot of the soldiers' morale.
Oh, absolutely. And I saw the reception that they gave him and, you know, everybody seemed to love it, and it is a nice, you know, the fact that he's giving up his own personal time to go over there. It shows a nice, softer side of him. It's great. It's a good PR move. It works well. I mean, the idea is, and again, when you go back, and this is why I like the analogy of the, you know, where's Bill Owens that Arnie Grossman was asking the day before Thanksgiving. I think it plays well because, you know, as a whole, what's President Bush really going to do in Iraq? I mean, he's not going to direct anything. He's not changing any of the war plans. He's not, you know, he's not picking up a gun and he's not going to fly a plane.
That's what I mean. He should have strapped on a couple of 45s, got on top of a tank and said, where's Saddam?
Exactly.
He should have said, bring him on over there. You know?
And that's not what he's doing. And you look at that and think that, you know, even with the flu epidemic here in the state, that's not what Bill Owens can do when he's here. No, he's not going to help you get better. And George Bush isn't going to help you fight. But it is the idea of active leadership and showing that you are involved and showing that you care. And for George Bush, even though he snuck into the cover of night, at least for him to be there in Iraq shows on a certain level that he isn't afraid, that he was at least confident that they could protect him there. And,
yeah.
You know, it was a good, you know, feel-good kind of a move.
I like his opening line when he got, what did he say, can anybody get a warm meal here?
And he actually, and I saw him serve mashed potatoes. That, another one, good PR move. I mean, good pictures, good PR move. You know, they did a good job with it.
Well, visit notwithstanding, it was business as usual in Iraq. According to CNN.com, President Bush's surprise Thanksgiving visit to Baghdad did not deter the fighting in Iraq, as guerrillas launched a mortar attack today that killed a U.S. soldier, and U.S. troops seized weapons and arrested anti-coalition suspects, including a cleric. And there was a very interesting death that happened in Iraq early Thursday. I don't know if anybody knows about this. U.S. Central Command announced the death early Thursday of a soldier from the 82nd Airborne's task force operating west of Baghdad from a non-hostile gunshot wound.
What?
They're not saying suicide. And they're not saying if another soldier shot him. They're just calling it a non-hostile gunshot wound. Central Command said the soldier was in his barracks near Ramadi at the time of the incident, which is under investigation. An Army medic who heard the shot found the soldier without a pulse, but he was not able to revive him.
Hmm.
So
that's a little strange. Yeah, you wonder if it's a little bit of a suicide. And then there's a lot of tension over there. I mean, there's a lot of the daily grind. And
we'd heard stories about the suicide rate.
Yeah.
You know, it's debated whether or not it's higher than normal or
exactly, or
normal. So, you know, there's that. Condoleezza Rice also made the trip over to Baghdad with President Bush. And she talked about the officials that planned Bush's surprise visit to Iraq. They almost called it off after last week's rocket strike on a cargo plane. You know, first they didn't know if a rocket had hit the cargo plane. They weren't saying whether or not it did. Then when they determined that a rocket had hit the plane, they were thinking about calling the trip off. But staff decided that the mission should go on, just for, I guess, PR purposes and
nothing else.
Bush returned to Texas early today after making his unannounced visit to Baghdad. Spent part of Thanksgiving Day with the U.S. troop, a trip that surprised not only the soldiers, but just about everybody else in the world. That's an understatement. His visit marked the first time a U.S. president had traveled to Iraq, and concern for Bush's safety kept the trip cloaked in secrecy. Even members of the Secret Service, some members of the Secret Service, were kept in the dark about it. Bush then went to a hangar when he arrived in Baghdad, where about 600 members of the 1st Armored Division and the 82nd Airborne Division, that's the outfit from which this soldier with the mysterious death was from, the 82nd Airborne Division, died from a non-hostile gunshot wound. We're going to keep an eye on that one and see what the deal is with that. Other Iraq news, for those of you keeping score, so to speak, about 40,183 people have died between Iraq, Afghanistan, troops, coalition, civilian, you know, for those of you who want a total number, it's over 40,000 now. That would include 432 U.S. troops killed through November of this year. Coalition troops killed, 78 have been killed. And once again, that total is up to November of this year. Iraqi troops killed through April of this year. For some reason, the Department of Defense isn't supplying statistics past April of this year, but they say about 7,600 Iraqi troops were killed through April of this year. Over in Afghanistan, about 8,000 Afghan troops were killed. I didn't know Afghanistan had an army. I thought the Taliban was running things. But, according to this Department of Defense, the way they're labeling it, they're calling it Afghanistan troops. Afghanistan civilian killed 3,073 through May of this year, and Iraqi civilians killed through November about 21,000. Numbers you don't hear about that often, the amount of civilian casualties in the conflict in the Middle East, Iraq and Afghanistan, actually, to be specific. For those of you who wish to weigh in on President Bush's surprise visit to Baghdad yesterday, what do you think? Good idea? A foolish stunt that put him in harm's way unnecessarily? Tell us what you think. 303-382-1150. In other war on terrorism news, the U.S. government has freed 20 prisoners from its high-security prison for foreign terror suspects in Cuba, bringing the total release to more than 80. They plan to send dozens more home soon. This appears to be a bit of a reversal in policy. The next group, however, will probably get out of the Guantanamo Bay prison only if their governments promise to continue to imprison and investigate them. So we'll let you out of prison only if your host country promises to put you back in prison.
Oh, good.
The latest releases stem from negotiations that were sped up after American allies complained that the Bush administration was taking too long to resolve the cases of hundreds of foreign suspects captured in the global war on terrorism. So our allies are bringing heat on the president, saying, you know, tell us something with regard to our people. Last week, the military flew about 20 new prisoners into Guantanamo, most of them captured in the continuing fight in Afghanistan. The number of prisoners in Cuba remains at about 660. You know, they should have said 666 just to keep it interesting.
Just because.
But anyway, the government won't give an exact count. They're not telling us how many prisoners are actually in Guantanamo Bay. Of the 88 released over the past year, the United States has agreed that 84 could be freed once back in their home countries. The other four, which were sent to Saudi Arabia several months ago, continue to be under detention in Saudi Arabia. The coming transfer of dozens of others for continued detention in their home countries could also be a substantial change. So, I don't know. A lot of shenanigans, in my opinion, happening at Guantanamo Bay. The fact that they aren't telling us how many people are actually in jail is cause for alarm, in my opinion.
Yeah, that is. The fact they won't even tell you who know how many, where they are, it's just... And they don't charge them with anything.
Yeah,
I
don't like the whole un-Americanness of the idea. You know.
Yeah, that's the one that really does bother me.
Yeah,
you're exactly right. Then
don't tell you what you're in jail for, and won't let you talk to a lawyer.
Yeah, would you look at that and think that it's when you're? And I understand that the military combatants and you know whether or not they're involved in terrorism and the war, but at some point, even now, that they should be in contact with at least their home government and talking to a lawyer and at least come out and tell them what they're charged with and why.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it really seems to, at least on my opinion, to the rest of the world, shows that we speak out of one side of our mouth and then do other things. Because for a country to stand here and say that this is all the freedoms that we protect, these are things that are sacred to us, we think these basic freedoms should be basically mile markers for the rest of the world.
Exactly.
Everybody should be trying to achieve these.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it doesn't count. You look at them, you look at this and go, wait a minute. I mean, if the bill collector came to your house and said, yeah, we like to send you a bill every month and we like to bill you, timely for the services, except in this case, it's a surprise and you got to pay me today.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. When they tell you that the rules are X and then they come around and do Y, you just don't believe them.
Well, we got Dan on a cell phone. Dan wants to weigh in about the president's visit, and we'll learn exactly, precisely, specifically what Dan has to say when we come back. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
In depth and in Denver, AM 1150, KNRC.
Do you know the difference between customizing an opening to fit a door and customizing a door to fit an opening? Call Colorado Door Connection at 303-425-3366. They'll explain. From structural integrity to financial sense, this is a question you cannot afford to overlook when considering the doors in your home. Since a door is the first impression made to your home or room, and you know the saying, you only get one chance to make a first impression, Colorado Door Connection will help you make the best impression possible through excellent service and quality products. Call now and receive a free handle set valued at $160 with a purchase of $600 or more. Colorado Door Connection. Visit our showroom at 9710 West 50th Avenue, just off I-70 and Kipling, or call 303-425-3366. Don't put your home's doors on the back burner any longer. The holidays and holiday guests are fast approaching, so visit Colorado Door Connection today.
Whoa, look out! Coming through!
Oh, I'm really glad we came. I wonder if Deb is here.
Hey, Kelly, John, it's so good to see you. I was hoping you'd come.
Hey, folks, have you called your doctor yet about the purple pill called Nexium? Well, perhaps you should wait till you get home. Find out if Nexium Esomeprazole Magnesium is right for you. And call 1-877-4-NEXIUM or visit us at purplepill.com.
I had a bad headache. I tried Advil Liquid Gels. They work faster than Tylenol.
I needed stronger medicine, and Advil Liquid Gels get that medicine to my headache faster.
I get better relief with Advil Liquid Gels.
Every day, more people are choosing Advil Liquid Gels to relieve tough headache pain. Advil has these advanced capsules with liquid medicine inside to rush relief where you need it. Proven faster, stronger, better than Tylenol.
Now, every time I get a tough headache, I choose Advil Liquid Gels.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
The 25th Annual Art Breach Festival of Trees is now open through November 30th at the Wildlife Experience Museum, located 1 mile east of I-25 and Lincoln Avenue. Bring down the family to see the festival featuring professionally decorated holiday trees and wreaths. Admission is only $6 for adults, $5 for seniors, and $3 for children 5 through 12. Free for kids under 5. For more information on Art Breach and the 25th Annual Festival of Trees, go to www.artreachdenver.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
You're listening to Dominic and Bill live on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Dominic and Bill.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's funky. Yeah. Like the boys' locker room. That's
funky. Yeah, don't believe the hype.
25 and a half minutes after 12 noon, it's Friday, the 28th day of November, the busiest shopping day of the year. That's what they tell me. I wouldn't know. It takes money to shop, and that's why I participate in that exercise very seldom.
No, I didn't go out there and didn't want to fight the crowds this morning.
Yeah, right.
Didn't go elbow to elbow.
That's right. I would have spent money, but I didn't want to fight the crowd. 303-382-1150. We've been talking about a lot of things. We even had Dan waiting on a cell phone, but Dan had to go do some shopping. So
I was next in line.
Yeah, he couldn't wait. Yeah. Dan, once you get your items together, call us back, won't you? 303-382-1150. We've been talking about President Bush's surprise visit to Baghdad, and what a surprise it was. It surprised everybody.
It really was.
I don't even think Laura knew he was going.
She was told about a week ago from what I was reading. Yeah.
Right.
So about a week ago, she was told, yeah, he's going to be going down there, and they kept it quiet. And they did a really good job making sure it was, you know, and I guess there were only a handful of people total that knew about it. And, you know, there was Hillary was out there, a couple of the generals were out doing some stuff today, and yesterday, and he basically took all the spotlight, and it's, you know, great PR move.
Yeah, surprised the whole world. I don't know if he surprised Dan, though. Dan, you still there?
Yeah, I am. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
That's all right. Thanks for making it.
Have either of y'all ever been in the military?
I have never been in the military.
Nope.
But, this visit was a huge deal.
Okay.
To these guys. I mean, I was in the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment. Mm-hmm. In Germany in the late 70s.
Okay.
And I can remember the 5th Corps commander was Alexander Hay.
Okay.
And he came to our base one time, and that we only had about 700 people counting dependents.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big deal. And this, the only thing that could come close to this would be Bob Hope showing up and putting on a surprise show for these guys. But one other time was a really big deal was at our border outpost. I was in the tower. I was a tower NCO one time. And it was in February. I think it was 1979, and heard some steps coming up, someone coming up the steps, and the door opened up, and it was 8 Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders on the USO tour.
Hey.
You know, I think, you know, the soldiers may have been more pleased to see some cheerleaders than the president. I don't know, you know. I don't know who would have boosted morale higher, the cheerleaders or the president. But it was definitely a good move, in my opinion.
I'll tell you what, the president showing up like that, these guys' morale just shot up tenfold.
You know,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe it would have been good if the president and the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders had shown up. But
And Dan, I think you're absolutely right. I think that's kind of what, you know, when we're talking, I keep going back to the, you know, what Arnie Grossman was talking in this time slot the day before Thanksgiving. He was asking, where's Bill Owens, you know, with the health crisis as far as the flu, everything else in the city, in the state, that they were wondering, you know, where's Owens and why is he here, you know, in the state. But strangely enough, if you draw the analogy and say, well, there are two different ways of handling it, President Bush isn't there doing anything militarily. He's there to boost morale. He's there to show that he's there with the troops and to present a united front. And there's a whole lot of other extraneous things that are there without personally helping anybody that has the flu, or he's not firing a shot, he's not doing anything else. So if you look at the differences as to, you know, how the two were approaching the matters, it was a great move by Bush, and he did it. See, I mean, this is a time in which the you know, those soldiers were away from their families. They're missing their families at a time that it's got to be really tough for them. And to have President Bush, you know, walk through those doors and spend two and a half hours with them, it's a great move for him. It really is.
Yeah, Dan, thanks for making the call. 303-382-1150. If you wish to weigh in on the president's surprise trip to Iraq, 303-382-1150. What do you think, Bill? Next month, Afghanistan, maybe?
I don't think he'll go that quickly. Okay. I think that, you know, now once you've done the plane trick, then you know, you got to almost wait a little while. And I don't know. Afghanistan's a little more sketchy. That's one where it'd be a little bit harder, in my opinion, to keep him safe.
Okay, well, I hate to be a doomsdayer, so to speak, or a doomsayer, so to speak, but I think that the jihadists are going to be so PO'd about the president coming to Baghdad and going out without getting the proper reception from them, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
That I could see them actually stepping up attacks.
I could see that, and I could see them just being angry. And honestly, I kind of like the fact that he got in there and got out and could thumb his nose at him. Like, you guys can't get me. I mean, it really, on a lot of different levels, there's, you know, it's almost like the official raspberry. I mean, he really did a good job.
You know, there are unsubstantiated reports of Saddam Hussein showing up at a Chicago shopping mall. I don't know if that's true, you know, while Bush was over there. He came over. I don't know. 303-382-1150 if you want to weigh in on the president's surprise visit to Iraq. In other news, it's getting pretty bad out here, Mr. Thorpe. A woman charged with sending a letter marked anthrax to the White House. She did this a couple of months ago. You may have heard the story. She said she did it so she could receive better health care in prison.
What?
Yeah. Rhonda K. Smith told a Secret Service agent that she decided to make a plan to commit crimes until she was arrested in order to receive better medical treatment. You know, maybe she's trying to establish a case of a insanity defense.
That may be. I mean, this, I guess I look at this. Well, okay.
Rhonda K. Smith was indicted in federal court last month on charges of using the mail to threaten the president and of using or threatening to use a weapon of mass destruction against the U.S. Postal Service. Threatening to use a weapon of mass destruction carries a maximum sentence of up to life in prison or any number of years the court decides. Smith suffers from diabetes and lung problems, and her defense lawyer said his client requires oxygen and takes various medications. She was arrested in September. She has been since released on an unsecured bond, and she couldn't be reached for comment. I don't know.
Seems a little strange.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of think that, well, if you're really looking for better health
care. That is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. I kind of look at it and think, well, is that really the best place that you're going to go to? Oh, well, I guess if you're crazy enough to say, well, that's where I'm going to go get it, then I guess so. It's kind of odd, though. I don't know.
303-382-1150. That was Bill Thorpe. I'm Jerome Davis. And this is Ron. Ron wants to weigh in on the president's visit. You still there, Ron?
Oh, yeah.
How you doing?
It's quite surprising that, you know, it's amazing he pulled it off, but my God, the right-wing press the whole day thinks he's the bravest thing since Audie Murphy.
Oh, absolutely.
The right-wing press, huh?
Oh, there's some of the right-wing talk show hosts on other stations in this town. Oh, he was so brave, he risked his life.
Yeah, he didn't risk anything, because you knew that they had the slightest hint of anything going on that he wouldn't have been there. I mean,
well, you know, the man, he was in harm's way somewhat.
To a certain extent.
You know, I don't, you know, I won't risk his life. You know, you risk your life when you're crossing the street every day. So
I think it was more risky for him to land on that aircraft carrier.
That's a good point. That really is.
You know, I don't know. I think that was actually safer, you know. You know, I've heard people who actually believe he landed the plane on the carrier. You know? I heard, like you say, Ron, the right-wing talk shows, I've heard people on there say, do you know how hard it is to land a plane on a carrier, as if Bush actually piloted the plane?
They say that's the most dangerous part of carrier operations is landing.
Yep,
I can believe
that. When especially if you have choppy seas and
you miss that tow rope, you can pitch over and you can
and
slide
onto
the side.
And you've only got 150 yards to work with.
Yep. It is very dangerous. And, you know, you sit there and, he did a good job. I mean, as far as a PR move and everything else, it was great for the troops, good for, you know, his reelection campaign. It's good for the media. There were a lot of things that, you know, based on the visit were very well done. I mean, we knew that he wasn't going there to pick up a weapon and fire and help the troops out. But what he did do is help them boost the morale and, you know, good move.
I agree with that. But, yeah. You were talking about some strikes coming up. I got the feeling that either Christmas or sometime in the first part of next year that there's going to be one nasty attack by al-Qaeda, whether here in the continental United States or Europe.
That seems about right, Rick. I would kind of say, I would agree with that, that they're probably ramping up for something. They know it's the holiday season, and they're,
I'm of the opinion, predicting an attack by al-Qaeda, that's like going out on a limb and, you know, predicting, you know, a win by the, you know, Yankees or something, you know. I mean, eventually, it's going to happen, you know.
Yeah, but I was talking to a friend of mine and over long distance, and they're a very good friend of mine, and he's working with a U.S. corporation in Rome.
Okay.
He said you wouldn't believe the amount of armed Italian troops in Chiesa Bignieri around the Vatican.
Okay.
Oh, really?
And snipers up on top.
Wow.
So they're expecting something.
Yeah.
And what a target to hit, the Vatican.
Oh, yeah. That'd be, I mean, you know, if it is.
Whether you're Catholic or not,
yeah.
You know, that's a Christian target.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Ron, thanks for making the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
303-382-1150, Jerome Davis sitting here with Bill Thorpe. Normally, Enid Goldstein holds down the fort between noon and 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, and lest anyone think differently, she will be back right here Monday afternoon at 12 noon. Enid Goldstein's show will continue Monday afternoon at 12 noon. My name is Jerome Davis. The other voice is Bill Thorpe. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. And now let's go to the newsroom where Tim McLaughlin is sitting by.
Hey, Jerome, how's it going?
Kite's clone, actually. Tim McLaughlin. Not bad, Tim. How you doing?
Good, good.
All right, lay it on us.
All right, mostly sunny, 52 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the 17 John Elway Showrooms. Denver police are looking for three men they believe were involved in a break-in that ended in murder. Investigators say a man was killed and another injured as he tried to fight off the attackers Wednesday night in the 300 block of South Pecos. Fire investigators say that Austin Gene Mayo, a volunteer firefighter with the Livermore Fire Department, was responsible for the fire that burned down an historic church in Larimer County earlier this month. Mayo is being held on $500,000 bond at the Larimer County Detention Center. Fort Carson has lost another soldier in Iraq. Officials say that Specialist David Goldberg died in northern Iraq of a non-combat related injury. The U.S. Defense Department hasn't released the actual cause of death, saying only that the incident is under investigation. Goldberg is the 32nd Fort Carson soldier to die in Iraq. In sports, the CU-Nebraska rivalry continues at Boulder's Folsom Field. Right now in the third quarter, CU is leading 22-21. Colorado Avalanche in action tonight against the Edmonton Oilers, and the Denver Nuggets welcome the Dallas Mavericks to the Pepsi Center tonight. Do you want out of high car payments? Then the John Elway Showrooms want to swap cars with you. You could end up making lower payments than you have now. Swap cars and let John Elway take your old car and lower your monthly payments. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:36.
Jim Conder here talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear the best in the city, and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your flex dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your flex dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, International Optique is hosting a fabulous trunk show at Tamarack Square on Saturday, December 6th, with 15 of our sales reps showing their entire collections. It's like going to a trade show. If you can't find a frame at the trunk show, the frame doesn't exist.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, join International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
KNRC News Time is 12:37. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit taxdeduction.com. One accident in the Central Valley, or it's going to be in downtown. Northbound Spear right at Arapaho should be in the cleanup stages. This traffic report also a service of Bank One. Stop by Bank One and get maximum strength checking. Now maximum strength checking comes with free online bill pay on qualifying accounts, so stop by Bank One today. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. High wind warning in effect for the east slopes of the Front Range tonight and Saturday. That does include Jefferson and West Douglas counties above 6,000 feet. And it's going to be breezy for all areas through this afternoon, partly cloudy 51. Also breezy tonight, partly cloudy 28, but a windy day on Saturday, partly cloudy and warm 59. Cooling down a little bit on Sunday, partly cloudy, a high near 50.
For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 52 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1239. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the Buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the Buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
KNRC Market Watch.
Shopping malls packed with bargain hunters today. Wall Street quiet. Trading volume for the session, which closed 3 hours early, was easily the lowest of the year. 480 million shares changed hands on the big board. The Dow added 3 points to 9782. S&P 500 lost a fraction to 1,058. The NASDAQ edged up 7 points to 1,960. When the dust settles, the end of this Black Friday, retailers hope to have plenty of money in the cash registers. But the sales success of today may not signal a strong run through Christmas Eve.
The last 2 years, it's not been a good indicator for us. 2 years ago, it was weak, and the holiday season was better than expected. Last year, it was very strong, and the holiday season turned out to be weaker than expected.
That's Jay McIntosh, who tracks the retail industry for Ernst & Young. Most big retail stocks edged higher today as traders bet on a good holiday shopping season. Two exceptions were discounters. Target finished flat. Walmart lost 6 cents a share. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
Yeah, well, contrary to what your mom and daddy may have told you, it's actually the Enid Goldstein Show. My name is Jerome Davis. Bill Thorpe is helping me out, so gracious a gentleman that he is. Just about 18 minutes before 1 o'clock, it's Friday, the 28th day of November. Enid Goldstein will be sitting right where I'm sitting. Well, maybe not right where I'm sitting, but she'll be here Monday, 12 noon. So there you are. Steve has been waiting patiently. He wants to talk about Guantanamo Bay. Steve, are you still in Highlands Ranch, brother?
I am. How are you guys doing today?
Not bad.
First of all, I think what Bush did yesterday was awesome. I think it was great that he went over there and let the troops know that, you know what, we are thinking about them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you guys are talking about Guantanamo Bay, I think the thing that's interesting here is you look back to, let's say, World War II, for example.
Okay.
Prisoners of war were held until the war was over. And I understand that we're not dealing with a declared war here, but we are still dealing with the same issues, which is that those that we're going up against right now are trying to and will kill us if they get the chance.
Okay.
You know, they don't have the same conquest points that somebody like Adolf Hitler or the Third Reich had, where they're looking for countries or territory.
Mm-hmm.
Their goals and objectives may be different, but we're still dealing with the same issue. And, until the war is over, I have no problem holding these guys. Prisoners of war have never been held with some sort of a judicial system review in order.
I don't know about that. I think there have been certain rules regarding the holding of prisoners of war that are being shall we say, ignored during this conflict?
Well, I think that it depends on how you want to look at it. I mean, let's keep in mind, during World War II,
mm-hmm.
if prisoners were captured, as a matter of fact, I believe there were 8 Germans that were captured that came off of a U-boat,
uh-huh.
and because of the fact they were out of uniform, they were executed as spies. Okay. Now, I think that we're obviously looking at this situation the way that it is, and we understand that these guys don't wear uniforms per se,
mm-hmm.
but the fact is they're enemy combatants, and they need to be held until we deem that they're no longer a threat. And
that's important, Steve. That's important here, because this is the question that we have when we're fighting the Axis powers. We're going after Japan and Germany. We know base of operations. We can topple the leader, et cetera.
Right.
How do we know when the war on terrorism is over?
We don't necessarily know for sure.
That's the problem. If we don't know where the end game is, how do we know when we're going to release these prisoners? It's like having a difference between World War II and the war on drugs.
Right.
Both called wars, but how do we know when we win the war on drugs? How do we know when we win the war on terrorism? There isn't a definitive outcome nor goal. So when you
don't have that,
it's difficult to say that you're going to release these guys when the war is over. When you can't, Steve, when you can't tell me how you know when the war is going to be over, how can you then turn around and tell me that it's okay to hold these guys indefinitely, because you don't know when the war is going to be over. You have no idea.
Because Bill, if you would have asked me the same question in 1942, you and I would be arguing about the same exact thing.
Oh, no, not at all.
Because you and I would have had no idea when World War II was going to end.
Well, when the defeat of Germany happens,
Germany falls, Japan falls. They sign the armistice, fall. It's over.
How do you know that
part I agree, but what I'm saying is there was no time period there.
It's not a time period. It's the idea of how do you know when it's over. If you don't have an identifiable enemy, how do you know when they're going to surrender?
How do you know when you've defeated the terrorists?
Well, I think in that particular case, you're right. We're not going to have a signed armistice, per se, that's going to say, okay, the end of hostilities begins at midnight, you know, such and such date.
Mm-hmm. But then you want to release them when that happens, because you said when the war is over, you're happy to release them.
Right.
You can't identify, but then, Steve, you see the problem with the logic. You say, I'll release them when we know the war is over. Then when I ask you, how do we know the war is over, and you go, I don't know.
Well,
then wait a minute. Then you're saying, then if I go back to that and we can say, when are you going to release them? Your answer should have been, I don't know.
Well, actually, my answer is, although we're not dealing with a signed armistice, I think we'll all know when the war is over, even though you and I speak right
Steve,
now are not going to be able to say, this is going to be the clear-cut objective. We're going to know when the war on terror is over.
No, that's like your dad telling you, I'm going to let you out of timeout. When I tell you, I'm going to let you out of timeout.
Steve, with all due respect, I think you need to talk to some people in Israel with regard to knowing when the war on terror is
over.
But
Israel is a good example, Jerome. I think the fact of the matter is the war in Israel between the Palestinians and the Israelis could have been over 2 years ago, but because of the fact we've injected diplomacy and politics into that situation, that war continues on. Make no doubt at all, the Israeli army, if Israel was let loose, could wipe out the Palestinian insurgents in probably less than 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But because diplomacy and
The idea that we don't want them bulldozing houses and taking out the rest of the Palestinians. Sure, they can go through with the military and wipe out a majority of the people that live there, but that's not necessarily the best part of war. I mean, you don't destroy the village to save them. That would be the argument for the Israelis just being cut loose to go after the Palestinians. You must destroy the Palestinians in order to save them.
Well, I agree, but Bill, what I think that I see with a lot of people on the left is that there is this belief that at some point there's going to be a diplomatic outcome with the Palestinians. And I don't know why after 2001, Bill Clinton had a brilliant peace initiative that the Palestinians still turned down. At some point, people are going to have to start saying, well, wait a minute, maybe peace is not the issue here. I mean, if you look at the history of the Palestinians, the PLO in particular, the PLO was formed in 1964. There were no occupied territories until 67.
Uh-huh.
The fact of the matter is the liberation that they look for is the liberation of Israel proper.
Uh-huh.
And although people like Yasser Arafat have figured out how to say the right things in public, I still think that we're dealing with the same exact thing. And you're just simply looking at a much larger combat and combat zone when you're dealing with al-Qaeda and terrorism as a whole against the United States. Obviously, we're not dealing with just Israel. Now we have multitudes of countries that we're dealing with that this terrorism is exported from. And the goal at this point is to eliminate the United States.
And remember, we're not even attacking those countries that are exporting the terrorism either, though.
Well, but we have other means of attacking those countries. We have the means with Saudi Arabia to put diplomatic pressure on them. We have the means to put economic pressure on them.
The same diplomatic and economic pressure that you derided the left for providing over in Israel a moment ago.
Well, gentlemen,
hang on. That's because Israel... Bill, we have 30 years of history of this, Bill.
We have more history. We have at least that amount of history with Saudi Arabia.
I don't think we've had 30 years of terror exportation from Israel. I mean, I think if you want to look at the terrorism focused at the United States, you probably would look at the takeover of the U.S. Embassy in Iran in 1979 is the, like, flashpoint for today's modern terrorism.
Well, you got to go if you look at modern terrorism, you got to go back to Syed Qutb, and you got to look at what he was doing in Saudi Arabia, and you got to look at what his brother was doing, and his brother actually, Syed Qutb's basically the founder of a lot of the idea. You got to go read the In the Shade of the Quran, and you understand why they look at this as somewhat of a religious war and a holy war. And then you also have to remember Osama bin Laden was taught by Syed Qutb's brother inside of Saudi Arabia and implanted a lot of these same ideas in his mind. So the idea that Saudi Arabia hasn't been exporting terrorism for at least the past 30 years. I'm sorry, it's incorrect.
Gentlemen, I'd like to carry it further, but we've got people waiting.
All right, guys, have a good day.
Thank you very much, Steve. 303-382-1150. When we come back, we will definitely talk to Mike, we'll talk to Bob, and we'll talk to Van. This is AM 1150. KNRC.
Awarded Colorado's best newscast and best general reporting by the Associated Press. AM 1150. KNRC.
In a perfect world, your entire family would agree on what picture to use in the holiday card, and your family's card would be displayed front and center on everybody's refrigerator. But the world isn't perfect, and that's why there's Walgreens, where you get 20 photo greeting cards for only $14.99, and they're ready the next day, well in time to make the holiday season picture perfect. That's life. This is Walgreens.
Women over 50 and men over 40 are waking up to a surprising fact. They're already at risk of a heart attack. Because of age and other risk factors, doctors often recommend Bayer low-dose aspirin as part of a routine to help prevent a heart attack. Bayer is the leading aspirin brand, and taking Bayer for your heart is easy. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen and ask about adding Bayer to your routine. For many more great days ahead, trust your heart to Bayer.
KBDI Channel 12 provides more locally produced public affairs programming than any other television broadcaster in Colorado. Join us every Wednesday and Friday for programs that tackle the local issues seriously. KBDI Channel 12, your worldview and community voice.
Community commitments.
It's time for a cowboy Christmas with Cody on Sunday, December 7th from noon to 3 p.m. at the Buffalo Bill Museum and Grave. For the kids, it's a gift from Santa, Cody and holiday craft making. For the adults, it's a chance to see Nancy Sinatra's original walking boots plus 59 other pairs in the new exhibit Boot Hill. Cowboy boots on Lookout Mountain, and it's all free. For more information on a cowboy Christmas with Cody, Sunday, December 7th, log on to buffalobill.org.
For your most important calls, reach out on the Wireless Service America Trusts, AT&T Wireless.
Talk to Lionel.
Everybody's trying to reinvent this thing called dating, meeting. Oh, here's one for you. This one says she's fun-loving. You know, there's nothing better than somebody who loves fun. Really, I love ethnic food, now here we go, and 80s movies. You know what we should have? Dumbass. I'm a semi-literate who doesn't know what to say. Basically, what they're saying is, do you really care what movies I like? Here's my picture.
Lionel, weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Dominic Brascia.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Yeah, I'm Enid Goldstein. I'm glad to be with you this afternoon. Just about 7 minutes before 1 o'clock, let's talk to Bob. He's in Colorado Springs. Still there, Bobby?
Yes, I am. Nice hearing your voice on the air, Jerome.
Oh, Bob, you're
and,
so kind.
I used to listen to you down here in Crow Springs until you took a sabbatical.
Yeah.
the last nice way of putting it. Is, like, really stupid. I hate to say that, and I hate to be that blatant, but, you know, I listen to these right-wing guys talking about this Palestinians, how horrible Yasser Arafat is.
Yeah.
And I think they got selective memory, because I don't think anybody really remembers how this infatada started.
How did it start, Bob?
Well, Ariel Sharon and a bunch of people who were real fundamental Jewish people came and they set the cornerstone. They had a cornerstone for the new temple that they were going to put. And that's when the Palestinians, or the Muslims who were worshiping at that on that day, started throwing rocks over the wall onto Ariel Sharon's people, who were trying to set the cornerstone for the new temple, which means that the mosque has to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get that fundamental, and you get that stuff going, and they just ignore that. And it really is irritating to me, because it really blames it on this terrorist, Arafat, and the biggest terrorist over there is Ariel Sharon.
Boy, I tell you, that religion, it sure complicates things, doesn't it?
It, you know what that is? That's religion, you said it. Right
uh-huh.
And you get into religion and it just goes crazy. But that's not why I called. sad part about this visit to Iraq
yeah.
was the fact that, you know, I hate to say this, but it was a political move that was the right move.
Yeah.
You
got to give it up to them.
Those boys over there need to have the support and the confidence of people, you know, that they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they're doing right or wrong. You know, they're okay, because, like, you know, that's a terrible situation they're in over there. It really is.
Bob, thanks for the call.
I appreciate your time.
All right, thank you. 303-382-1150. Van has been very patient. Van, what do you got?
Well, I think, you know, I've been listening to your guys' show for a bit now. And
thank you.
One of the things that I think is going on is that I think that folks haven't figured out whether we're dealing with a bunch of criminals or we're actually at war.
Yeah. Hey, turn off that phone behind you. Or the radio. Turn off the radio behind you.
I don't have a radio on.
Oh, okay. I'm hearing an echo, though. Are you hearing an echo?
Yeah, I'm hearing an echo. Like it's...
That's strange. Okay, that seems like it's gone there. Okay, go ahead.
But what I was saying is that, you know... I'll call back, guys.
Hold on, man. I think we got another line open that we're trying to close here.
That may be it.
Okay. Wait a minute. Is that there? I don't know.
What happened? Hey, yeah, 5 is on hold. Okay, now push 4.
We lost Bob. Right, we 4. Lost Van.
How about there? Okay, Bob, you there?
No, we need Van.
No, Van. Oh, we lost Van. Go to 5.
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone. We lost him.
Van called back. Sorry, we're so technically inept around here.
Yeah, push.
That,
there we go.
We didn't know what we were doing.
Oh, well.
303-382-1150. I promise when you call, we'll have it together, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking about the president's surprise visit to Iraq and the situation down in Guantanamo Bay. Some people still in jail, few people getting released. What do you think? Tell us. 303-382-1150. Allegedly, presumably, the Department of Defense plans to release even more people from Guantanamo Bay, but for the most part, people still being held without knowing why they're being held, and they're also being held incommunicado of their legal representation. So, totally un-American, in my opinion. We had a caller that illustrated or tried to point out the fact that as soon as the war ends, the war being the war on terrorism, as soon as the war ends, then everybody will be released and... we'll all live happily ever after. Our question is, how do you know when the war on terrorism is over?
It's a difficult one, because that's part of the problem. It's an amorphous enemy. Mm-hmm. They don't have a home base of operations, and it's part of the problem in fighting them, and it's also an unidentifiable group that can belong to any nationality, any race, any creed. And
there's no country to conquer. There's no geographic area to dominate. How do you know when the war on terrorism is over? How many Americans have actually asked themselves that question? How will we know when the war on terrorism is over?
Yeah, it's a difficult proposition, and that's one of the ways that I think we can't really draw a lot of parallels. There are some as far as World War II and Vietnam, but there are also a lot of parallels that can be drawn based on things like the war on drugs, where this could be a never-ending type of a war. So to say that, you know, we basically hold these people incommunicado until we deem it necessary, you look at that and go, wait a minute. And again, realize that let's just say, if we, okay, we are in war, let's say just, you know, just for the sake of argument, that Al-Qaeda captures a few U.S. soldiers. Let's say they grab some in Iraq or they grab some in Afghanistan or wherever else. They happen to grab five or six enemy combatants. Do they get to hold them incommunicado without any representation and we don't get to talk to them? Red Cross has a hard time getting in to see them. Would we say that is acceptable behavior? And when you turn around and say, well, no, that's not acceptable, go, wait a minute, that's on a certain leg what we're doing over here. You can't play both sides of the fence.
You know, and people are prone to bring up analogies to World War II and World War II being the good war. I could tell you a couple of stories right now that might make you think about World War II in a totally different light. I think I'll relay one of those stories right now. My father-in-law was stationed in North Africa during World War II, and during this particular time, Bob Hope and his people were scheduled to come over and do their thing. Now, this is, you know, we're the 40s, North Africa, and the way my father-in-law described it, is we knew we were going to have to sit behind the white soldiers, and we were willing to put up with that.
Oh, wow.
But when they said we'd have to sit behind the German prisoners of war, that's when we just forgot about the whole thing. I would imagine not many people knew about that particular aspect of World War II. Yeah, the black soldiers had to sit behind not only the white soldiers, but the white German prisoners of war. We will regale you with more Americana when we return to the Enid Goldstein Show. We got to take a break for news right now. Don't you go anywhere. You can call us at 303-382-1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 52 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Amica Insurance. Airport officials are taking steps to ward off the flu at DIA. Colorado already has about 4,000 flu cases reported this year, and it's estimated there could be thousands more cases that haven't been reported. The combination of the flu, along with one of the busiest travel weekends of the year, has put airport officials on alert. Security employees, ticket counter workers, and baggage handlers are all wearing latex gloves and using sanitary wipes to protect against the flu virus. Mike Fearberg with the Transportation Security Administration says sickness is always an issue when dealing with the public.
Anytime you have you come in contact with a lot of people in the course of a workday, that should be of concern to everybody. That's just a good public health procedure. We have taken it to heart. Those kind of things are routinely made available at the checkpoint.
Health officials are calling this year's flu outbreak the worst in 6 years and expect it could get worse during December. While the security and ticket counters are a concern, airport officials say the biggest risk of infection actually comes after you board the plane. Frontier Airlines says everything will be disinfected during flights and surgical masks are available for anyone who asks. Fire investigators who are looking into the arson fire that burned down an historic church on November 16th in Larimer County have named a suspect. Austin Gene Mayo was a volunteer firefighter with the Livermore Fire Department and was one of the first on the scene of the burning 123-year-old church. He's being held in the Larimer County Detention Center on $500,000 bond. Lakewood police are hoping the public can help them locate a van they say was involved in a hit-and-run earlier this week. Police say a man was walking along 13th and Allison on Monday when the van hit him and then drove off. Lakewood police spokesman Steve Davis says after the victim was hit by one vehicle, he was struck by another.
Was hit again by another vehicle that couldn't avoid him after he'd been hit and was lying in the street. That second vehicle did stop and talk to Lakewood agents.
The hit-and-run vehicle is described as a light brown and dark brown conversion van, likely a GMC or a Chevrolet from the 1980s or 90s. Davis says it should have damage to the front grille and headlight area. Another American soldier has been killed in Iraq just one day after President Bush paid a surprise visit to soldiers in Baghdad. Lori Iyama reports.
A U.S. military spokesman says four mortar shells exploded on the 101st Airborne Division base in the northern Iraqi city of Mosul, killing one soldier. As the spokesman put it, the soldier was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. The U.S. expects to have some people in custody soon. A roadside bomb exploded as a U.S. military convoy was passing north of Baghdad, and a soldier was seriously wounded. This comes as the U.S. military says it has captured a Saddam Hussein bodyguard, Brigadier General Khalid Arakatimi, who it says provided money and weapons to insurgents. Laura Iyama.
Cal Ripken Jr. and his family had an unexpected surprise visitor at their Baltimore area home for Thanksgiving. A naked man arrived at Ripken's house saying he had been shot. 20-year-old Brian Robbins says he was walking down the street last night when he was abducted by three men. Robbins said the suspects made him strip down, get in the trunk of the vehicle when he could not come up with any money for his abductors. He said they let him go in a field near Ripken's house after shooting him. Ripken called 911. Robbins is due to be released from a hospital later today. While this is one of the busiest shopping days of the year traditionally, it's also a big day for identity thieves. Elizabeth Mosley of the Insurance Information Institute says keep the amount of personal information you carry to a minimum.
One of the reasons why you want to limit the amount of personal information that you keep in your purse or your wallet is because those are the type of information that thieves look for, and so you don't want to carry them around, especially if you don't really need them.
Mosley also says always take your receipts with you, and if you're using an ATM, shield the keypad as you type in your PIN. The Federal Trade Commission says there were 10 million identity theft victims in 2002. In sports, CU and Nebraska going at it today at Folsom Field in Boulder right now. CU leading that game 22-21 in the fourth quarter. Colorado Avalanche head into Edmond tonight to take on the Oilers. Avs beat the Calgary Flames 6-5. In overtime last night. Denver Nuggets play the Dallas Mavericks tonight at the Pepsi Center. Nuggets are 8-6 after their win over Phoenix on Tuesday. The Denver Broncos have just two wins in their last six games. This Sunday they head into Oakland to play the Raiders. Denver quarterback Jake Plummer says Oakland now is a much better team than the one they destroyed 31-10 in week three.
They're a lot different. You know, there's a lot more different bodies out there. They've moved some guys around. They're still the Raiders. They play, you know, ferocious D. They play hard. They play fast. They went into Kansas City and almost upset, you know, what's considered one of the best teams in the NFL.
Plummer says Oakland will be ready to play the Broncos this Sunday. Call now to discover why Amica is rated number one in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-24-AMICA. That's A-M-I-C-A. Amica Insurance, Auto, Home, Life, Integrity. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
You know, only a few things make me moan with delight, but this is a family-oriented station, so I can only tell you about one. Chocolate from Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. This is Greg Dobbs, and I'll tell you something else, too. If your friends, your clients and customers, your co-workers, or your employees love chocolate half as much as I do, nothing will make them happier over the holidays than to get a gift from you in chocolate. Now, maybe it's the product you produce or something in chocolate that represents your hobby. Maybe it's your company logo or just a business card in succulent chocolate. Fifth Avenue Chocolatier can produce whatever you want, inscribed the way you want it inscribed, and this is the part that really makes it easy. They'll send it where you want it to go, which saves you the grief of wrapping and shipping your gifts. Now, you can see more at their website, denverchocolate.com. But to smell their chocolate, to taste it, you've always got wonderful samples to taste if you drop by. Go to Fifth Avenue Chocolatier. They're on Steel Street in Cherry Creek North between 2nd and 3rd. Open every day of the week because there's never, never a bad day for chocolate. Fifth Avenue Chocolatier.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Kleenex Tissue. Like the news, germs travel fast. With three germ-blocking layers, Kleenex UltraSoft Tissues help stop the spread of germs. Thank goodness for Kleenex Tissue. One accident in the cleanup stages, injury accident, Boulder Turnpike at 80th. Everything else is mall-related. Lots of heavy traffic around the malls. This traffic report is also a service of Diamond Shamrock Corner Stores. Zip into your neighborhood Diamond Shamrock Corner Store and pick up Pepsi and Dr. Pepper 12-packs. Two for just $5.99. Diamond Shamrock Drive-In. Zip out. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. High wind warning in effect for the east slopes of the Front Range tonight and Saturday. And the greatest threat of high wind will be in the foothills north of I-70, where we could see gusts up to 80 miles an hour. But regardless, it's going to be windy through Saturday. Partly cloudy and warmer today, 51. Partly cloudy, breezy tonight, 28. Partly cloudy and windy Saturday, 59. And partly cloudy Sunday, a high near 50. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny, 47 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Enid Goldstein. I'm yours until you get tired of me. 7.5 minutes after 1 o'clock, Friday. Friday afternoon, the 28th day of November. Have you finished your shopping yet? Have you even begun your shopping yet? I'm Jerome Davis, sitting here with Mr. Bill Thorpe. Gee, it's easy for you to say.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Sitting
have
here with Bill Thorpe.
Have you done your shopping yet?
Yeah, I did my shopping.
You did? Good.
Yeah, I did it all, man.
I was just going through this morning going, man, I got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, well.
And I'm trying to figure out. I got a couple of people all set. I just have to go buy the presents. But, man, a couple of people in my list are always hard. You know, you got those difficult people.
Get them CDs. CDs or books. You can't go wrong.
That's a good one. Books, right. I think I'm going to side with because some of them, maybe. We'll have to see.
303-382-1150. We've been talking about Bush's surprise visit to Baghdad and what's happening down in Guantanamo Bay. We were disconnected from Van earlier, but now Van is back.
Hey, hey, how you guys doing?
Not bad.
Got a lot better phone line this time.
Oh, yeah, much clearer, everything.
Yeah, I wanted to, you know, as far as Guantanamo goes, and just, you know, just kind of what's going on in general with terrorism since 9/11.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that's really kind of, you know, I think it's partly just because everything's so new, but partly just because nobody's really thought about it, is we really haven't figured out whether we're dealing with a bunch of criminals or we're actually at war. You
well,
know.
By designating it a war, I think you've elevated the enemy above the level of lowly criminal. They're now like, you know,
right,
combatants.
But the thing is that, you know, historically you couldn't go to war with anything other than another state.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so what we've got is we've got a stateless enemy. And we want to call it a war because it feels like a war, looks like a war, kind of smells like a war. But when you're dealing with a stateless enemy, it introduces so many very, very different elements that, you know, we end up with situations like Guantanamo.
Okay.
You know, because one of the reasons that we've always respected the Geneva Convention until now is that, you know, that way you could point to folks and say, hey, look, you know, we treat your guys well, you treat ours well, and, you know, it's always a battle to make sure that you actually are getting the treatment, but, you know, we're not honoring the Geneva Convention with these folks down there.
You know, Van, I've heard the argument from certain sources that the fight against terrorism should actually be pursued as more of a police action than a military one.
Well, and, you know, I tend to agree with that. I think that, you know, it would require a great deal of thought in terms of the international community as well as, you know, our government, because we would have to, pass specific laws in order to address, you know, the crimes that are taking place. But I think in the long run, it's a far more productive avenue to take than to declare war. Because we're mixing things up. And, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons folks were so easy to go to war with Iraq is because, you know, we were looking for, you know, a big, ugly target to go kill. And that looked like, you know, one that needed, you know, needed doing. And we came up with enough excuses to go do it.
But reasons, excuses, huh?
Well, yeah. Because, I mean, I think when you look at it, you know, it's kind of like if you're going to be a great baseball player, you know, and you're going to hit the ball a long way, you keep your eye on the ball. And I think that we really took our eye off of the terrorists and who they were and what they were doing, how they were organized, and what would actually motivate, you know, or help them along in their path. And I, you know, personally, you know, I've tried to kind of put myself as much as I could in the shoes of these guys. What, you know, what type of, you know, outcome would they like to have seen from 9/11? And I think, you know, best case scenario for them would have been the United States invading a Middle Eastern country. Because that, you know, as has happened, would be an incredible recruiting postcard, and it would some ways justify, you know, their, you know, ludicrous argument for, you know, doing what they do in terms of terrorism.
I think you got a good point there, Van, and I keep looking at the idea of the war on terror, and yeah, we have, you know, trounced Saddam Hussein and removed a giant despot, and that's great, but remember that there was nobody on the conservative side of things for the last 15 years that was talking anything about removing Saddam based on humanitarian reasons, yet that's what you hear over and over again now, that he was this horrible guy, he was torturing people and murdering people, but the only people that you actually heard talking about the humanitarian issues inside of Iraq were people like Amnesty International. I mean, there were what people always thought of as, you know, oh, these left-wing human rights crazies, oh, these people are always crazy and always screaming about this stuff. Those are the only people that were bringing up the issues of, you know, what's going on in Iraq. And then if we look at the war on terror, there hasn't been anybody from Al-Qaeda that has been arrested inside of Iraq. Yes, they're trying to recruit and move things into Iraq. In fact, today, the BBC is reporting that police in Italy and Germany have arrested some North Africans suspected of recruiting suicide bombers for attacks in Iraq as they're exporting them. But again, all the Al-Qaeda-related arrests have been in Pakistan, India, France, Italy, Germany. They've been elsewhere. They haven't been arresting huge swarms of Al-Qaeda members inside of Iraq. So we really have to decide, you know, what is the goal as far as the war on terror?
Right. I mean, you know, are we looking at a situation? I mean, I think in a, I think the analogy to the, you know, the, to criminals in the United States, I mean, when we're, you know, it's kind of like the victories are marked by, you know, who you bring in, who
right.
you get off the street,
yeah.
and how safe the community is in general. And personally, I think that's what we're dealing with. I think we're dealing with a bunch of criminals
mm-hmm.
that don't believe in states, sovereign states. They don't believe in the rule of law. They don't believe in diplomacy. They believe in killing and terrorizing
yeah.
and disrupting you know, things in order to accomplish their goals.
Yeah, well, my analogy is Al-Qaeda isn't an army. It's a gang.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, it cracks me up because, I mean, we talk about this as if it's a brand new thing, but, I mean, when you think about it, an anarchist,
mm-hmm.
you know, terrorist of the, you know, of the 19th century
right.
killed McKinley.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's something that we've dealt with before, but this is the first time that we've taken, I mean, you know, you look at Robert Kennedy was killed by Saran Saran. Everybody.
So they say.
Everybody forgets that, hey, that guy was a Palestinian,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
and he had a major beef with him because of what was going down in 67,
yeah.
you know, and his, you know, his response to it and the campaign attitude that he took towards, you know, the Middle East. So, you know, you look at what's been going on, and this is the first time we've taken these, you know, essentially criminal acts and elevated it to the level of a war,
mm-hmm.
and then we've confuted who our enemy is. So that we're not even keeping our eyes on the ball. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I played baseball. I couldn't hit a damn thing if I didn't watch the ball.
yeah,
nobody
exactly.
could. That's the basic rule of baseball. Keep your eye on the ball.
And I think it's a basic rule mm-hmm. of any type of fight against terrorism.
Okay.
It's a good point.
Van, thanks for the analogy.
All right.
And thanks for coming back.
Okay, bye.
303-382-1150. Come on, tell us what you think about Bush's surprise visit to Baghdad or the war on terrorism in general. Mike is out there on a cell phone. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. How about you guys?
Too early to tell for me. What about you, Bill?
I'm doing okay.
All right.
Well, I'd like to just go back to some basic things and make some basic goes.
Oh, no. I'm
Mike,
losing.
You're breaking up.
Oh, no.
Hello?
I think we lost him. Hopefully Mike can give us a ring back.
Mike, where you at, Mike?
Well, it's, you know, all those you know, parking lots are packed
Mike.
Today, and finding a cell phone tower that's actually going to be uncrowded
Mike,
is going to be tough today.
Mike fell into cell phone abyss. Mike, all right. 303-382 if you've charged your battery, or if you want to do the novel thing and use a landline. 303-382-1150. For those of you who wish to contact us via email, Bill, what's that email address?
Well, you can email me at bill@knrcradio.com or just jump onto KNRC Radio and send us an email through there. It'll jump up on my screen, and we can talk to you electronically.
Okay. 303-382-1150. Bush's surprise visit to Baghdad. I mean, he surprised everybody. He definitely surprised me.
Yeah, he did. And, again, I thought decent PR move. Good. I mean, there were all the right reasons. He went over there. He did have to do it under the cover of night, but it is a nice boost for the troops
mm-hmm.
who are away from the families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's there basically waving the flag and saying, hey, we're here and this is what's going on. And good move. I mean, I can't really fault him for it. Yeah, it's a little bit of a PR political move, but, you know, the reason Hillary was out serving
mm-hmm.
dinner, I mean, everybody that was out serving dinner, everything else, it was for the photo ops. I mean, I honestly don't think there would have been a lot of politicos that would have been serving if they didn't have the lens on them. I'm a little, you know, caustic, but
I can see the montage now. You know, they're going to have, you know, the Republican National Committee when they construct all the advertising stuff this next summer, actually, at the convention. You can see Bush stepping from the plane in slow motion.
Oh, yeah.
Flight suit, helmet in hand, and then you do a slow dissolve over to him serving the turkeys in Iraq. I see the commercial happening already.
Oh, it works well. And as a PR move, and that's basically what it was. It was a nice, you know, boost for the troops over there. A good feel-good move for them. Great. You know, good move. I can't fault him for it.
I mean,
you know, it worked.
When you say PR move, I mean, what is the purpose of a public relations ploy? Is the purpose to solidify the base, or is it to sway people who may be undecided, or is it to convert those who were against you at one time?
Can I choose D, all of the above?
Because
I think that's, you know, it's what it is
right.
when you're looking at the idea. And I remember sitting in college going through the public relations classes
and
looking at, you know, how you deal with those people that, you know, and if you're looking at it as a product, and when you're electing a president, you are basically electing a product. And so you are looking at how you're branding that product, you know, who buys the product right now, who may buy the product, and who doesn't want to adopt the product.
Okay.
And so you have to craft your image based on that. And this, you know, as far as the Thanksgiving move, I've got a nod to Bush, a good move. I mean, Karl Rove and everybody else that put it together, nicely done. It was, you know, it was well done. I can't really fault him for it, as long as we understand what it was about.
Not a Bush fan, but, you know, when he got it coming, I'll give it up
absolutely.
To him.
Absolutely. This is much better than some of the things he's done.
He's definitely got it coming on this
one.
303-382-1150. Mike charged the battery of his cell phone and decided to call us back. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, pretty good. I'm just actually driving through the mountains, and I lost the signal.
Okay.
I'm not sure where I left off when the signal went out.
We'll start at the beginning.
Yeah, we'll start over.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Well, basically what I was saying is that we'll know the war on terror is over when, you know, the terrorist who basically is a politician of last resort for people who don't have military power or financial power, I think we'll know the war on terror is over. Or the war on terrorism is over when the United States is no longer the subject of the terrorist actions. And there are plenty of developed countries around the world who are not the subject of terrorist attacks. And I think it's because their wealth and their affluence doesn't come at the price, doesn't come at a cost to other people.
Mike,
do you follow me so far?
Kind of, sort of. Let me question you about other countries who don't experience terrorism. Name a couple of those places.
Well, I think we have quite a few countries in Northern Europe. I think I think they serve as a great model.
You would could you use Sweden?
For instance, Sweden. Or let's talk about our neighbor to the north, Canada.
Okay.
I think that. If we were to, I remember Osama bin Laden had a list of demands, and that was only put in the papers once, but we brushed that off, and we never really took a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues was Israel and Palestine,
right?
And you know, the Hebrews haven't before the end of World War II. The Hebrews, the Jews, had not been in power politically in that part of the world for 2,700 years. Okay, so, you know, this is a big shock to Palestinians that suddenly somebody else has moved in and taken over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a fact historically. I mean, we're going back to, you know, we practically need a, you know, archaeologist to, to make that point. The other point was the military occupation of the Middle East, and that is for the sole purpose of maintaining access to oil.
Oh, yeah.
I think if we were to make any legitimate effort at conservation, whatsoever, I mean, there are some very minor tax breaks in this new energy bill, but if we were to get serious about it, like Jimmy Carter was serious about it in the early 70s, I mean, he practically insulated the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but it's not done. I stayed at a family friend's house over Thanksgiving here.
Mm-hmm.
And their house is not insulated, and they have single-pane glass windows, and the place is freezing, and the heat comes all the time.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, there's 4 or 5 gas guzzlers parked in the driveway.
Yeah, I'll go a step further than conservation. I mean, I would like to see serious pursuit of alternative sources.
Well, for instance, there's a lot of good things going on out there. I mean, here in Colorado, solar thermal energy would eliminate about 70% of our need for natural gas. You can take a 1,500 square foot house and put 6 panels on it and provide about 70 to 80% of the heating needs for that house. And that's something that will last for 30 years.
Okay. All good ideas, Mike, but do you think the current administration has any interest in making us less dependent on oil?
Well, no, sadly enough.
Okay.
You know, the terrorists did not attack Main Street USA. They attacked Wall Street. They attacked the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who their beef is with. You know, in Canada, the average CEO makes about 24 times what the average employee makes. And here in the United States, it's over 1,000 times.
Wow.
And these people, you know, I mean, there's always going to be the give and take or the push and pull of greed and people being exploited by that. In this country, it was Native Americans and the African Americans and the Irish and their children. I mean, greed, it's not about religion. It's not about racism. I think it knows no value other than greed itself.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, sadly enough, this actually, it's hard for people who don't think that way to imagine that others could. And I suppose that every one of us, if ever given the opportunity, we're probably just as susceptible to those, you know, that inclination as anyone.
Okay.
You know, they say power corrupts.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, for the most part, if I was a rich and powerful person, maybe I too would be corrupted. But nevertheless, the middle class has to become uncomfortable to do anything about it. And it looks like we're getting there. When you can't pay for basic things like your home, when you can't pay for college, when you can't pay for health insurance, you know, things that we've sort of, when you don't have a retirement fund, when those things start to dry out and the middle class starts to become a little bit more desperate, you know, I think we'll see. I think we'll see folks get real proactive.
Uh-huh.
But right now, we're all just a little too comfortable. I mean, I just, you know, I'm passing brand new shiny gas guzzlers left and right on my way home here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for the most part, we're just way too comfortable. I think as Americans, we need to start asking ourselves what it is that we value most, and hold ourselves accountable for our part in this conflict.
Mike, you've brought up some interesting questions,
yeah.
And we thank you for
very
the call.
Good.
Okay, well, good luck. I appreciate the work you guys are doing.
Thanks, Mike. 303-382-1150. You are listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Don't settle for half the talk. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. It's common knowledge that household dust carries germs, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, pesticide, things you don't want your family breathing in. And when you realize that dust can be suspended in the air 8 hours before it settles, then you want a vacuum that traps the dust in the bag. You want a vacuum that cleans the air in your home as it cleans your floors. You want a hypoallergenic 8-pound Oreck XL. A hypoallergenic Oreck features a 7-stage filtration system that traps over 99.99% of particles 250 times smaller than the width of a human hair. When you turn on a hypoallergenic Oreck XL, there's never a cloud of dust in your face or a foul odor. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or a free 30-day home trial. That's 1-800-989-4200. It's the vacuum designed with your well-being in mind.
You know, the thing about winning awards is that you have to say award-winning this and award-winning that. And frankly, it's very tiring for a voice talent like myself.
Here's your Mai Tai, sir.
Thanks. But just in case you didn't know, you can download clips of award-winning news features and guest interviews from our award-winning website, made by an award-winning designer featuring award-winning hosts. Well, it's true. KNRCRadio.com has it all. But if somebody at the station wins a Nobel Prize, I'm out of here.
It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but my time is finally near.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Am I not gonna hold down no more? No, they're not gonna change my mind.
Well, we might have to hold Miss Goldstein down for one more day, but she will be back right here Monday afternoon at 12 o'clock here at AM 1150 KNRC. In the meantime, you've got to bear with yours truly, Jerome Davis, and I'm being ably assisted by Mr. Bill Thorpe this afternoon.
I'm going to be ably, but I'm at least here. I like that. That's the Enterprise theme song from the TV show. I like that. That's
the
good.
Enterprise theme.
Yeah, I'm a Star Trek geek.
What TV show would this be?
Enterprise, actually. Star Trek Enterprise. Supposed to be like before you saw Captain Kirk go and, you know, make love to the green women. That's, you know, this is like Scott Bakula is the captain now. And he, yeah, and they have to. It's really weird, though. There's some weird things as far as it's. it's technologically, it looks slicker than the original Enterprise. So it's almost as if we take this leap backwards. And
I'm going to have to buy a TV one day.
Yeah, you're going to have to. Because yeah. there are some decent things out there. They're few and far between. But there are some good things to watch. I'm not saying that Enterprise is always good to watch. It's okay. Sometimes it's not very good. But
all right. Well, we've been talking about President Bush's surprise visit.
Surprise,
to Baghdad.
Surprise.
That's right. He popped out of the turkey and said, hey, can I get a warm meal here? You know, 101st Airborne Division, I believe, are the troops that he spoke to. Was it the 82nd and the 101st?
I think so.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, nobody knew he was going. The daughters didn't know. Mm-hmm. Very few Secret Service people knew. And practically nobody in the rest of the free world knew that he was going to be there. And I don't know, how do you feel about it? 303-382-1150. I thought it was a pretty good move on the president's part. Dwayne is out in Aurora, and he wants to talk about something. Dwayne?
Hit the button again.
Dwayne. Oh, I got to do it again.
Yeah, again.
Okay, I didn't hit it.
There
you
go.
There you are.
Jerome and Bill, how are you today?
Howdy, Dwayne.
Dwayne, how you doing? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Huh?
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
No, I was sick.
You were sick? Man.
I had my Thanksgiving feast was a can of Progresso chicken noodle soup and a grilled cheese sandwich.
Well,
that's not cool.
You can take some solace in knowing you're probably eating better than a lot of people
maybe,
in the world.
But the turkey and stuffing sure would have tasted good.
Oh, geez. Sorry to hear that. Hope you feel better.
Right. That's all right.
How was Bill right about American rationalizing?
Oh, we are the world champion rationalizers.
Oh, yeah.
We on a regular basis engage in all sorts of activities that we condemn others for doing when it comes to either invading sovereign nations or treatment of prisoners. I mean, it can't help but make me chuckle when I think about the evil empire, and some of the things we condemned most about the evil empire were the things like throwing people in prison without any kind of rights or process.
Totally
and the fact
un-American.
That the, yes, and the fact that the government could go into their homes and read their mail and look through their personal property without, you know, permission or reasonable cause to do so. And now we're doing all the same things.
Yeah, yeah. So we went to, like, communist China to get advice on the Patriot Act.
I think so. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. And, you know, one of the things we love to do, and I think it's what continues to get us in so much trouble throughout the world. It's very easy and very convenient for anybody who even realizes it, and probably half Americans don't. Our history in some areas of the world, I mean, when you look at the Middle East, we have been involved messing with internal politics over there for years and years and years. I mean, when you know, look at some of these terrible people like Gaddafi, Bin Laden, Osama, you know, the Shah of Iran.
Oh, yeah.
All of these people at one time were our buddies. We helped install them in government. We helped prop them up. We've done the same thing in South, Central America, Africa. We've done it throughout the world. We will back some of the most evil, despicable human beings on the face of this earth if they serve a purpose for us. And then later we'll condemn them and act like we never had anything to do with them at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's surprising. We're very duplicitous, and then you wonder why when we walk around with hat in hand to ask the rest of the world to help us out with things like Iraq, they look at us and go, wait a minute. And that's one of the things that I stand there and think that even, you know, even the current administration has a very, very short memory, because we all remember that President Bush himself stood on the floor of the UN saying, hey, if you guys aren't going to help us, we're going to do it alone. And then he stands around and says, I don't know why anybody's not helping us. You go, you moron. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was funny. I mean, it's you know, it's kind of like a spoiled kid in the schoolyard. If you're agreeing with him, you're his buddy. If you disagree with him, he just doesn't want to hear about it. You know, he's going to throw a tantrum. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. And you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, Bill, you're probably too young to remember this. I'm not sure how old you are, Jerome, but I can remember the outrage in the early 70s when OPEC came along.
Oh, yeah.
And these nations over there had the unmitigated gall to say, you know what? We are going to take control and profit from our natural resources, and we're going to take that away from you, United States. You're not going to be over here plundering our countries anymore. And we were outraged. I mean, there were people at that time who were actively proposing that we should use military force to go in there and nationalize oil fields and everything else, because as Americans, we consider another smaller nation than us wanting to control their own destiny. I mean, we just can't imagine that sort of unmitigated gall, because we know best when it comes to everything.
Yeah, and the idea that if you even pushed it to the idea, the basic business philosophy of just profit margin. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, if you can push up the price and charge as much as you want, and that's really, I mean, that's one of the bottom line rules of business. You must, you know, the two bottom line rules are produce the product as cheaply as possible and sell it for the highest possible amount.
Yep.
That's what you're looking at. And to, you know, basically hold other countries accountable for doing some of the same practices, that's why time and time again, people in the international community look at us and go, what are they thinking?
Yeah, and you know, Jerome, you were absolutely right when you were saying earlier, I mean, not only do we need to, should we have long ago and desperately need to now look at alternative sources for energy, but, you know, Bill, you're both right. I mean, we actually look at our gluttony as a source of pride. I mean, how many times we
what
hear...
What do we call it? Consumption.
Yeah, people
being
like
a consumer.
Limbaugh, a lot of people, you know, we're proud of the fact that even though we're only 15% of the people on this planet, we eat up over 50% of its resources and we pat ourselves on the back like, geez, aren't we wonderful for driving this Hummer H2 down the highway?
Yeah.
And we're pathetic. I mean,
I look at it, Dwayne, I was reading a story the other day out in Massachusetts, out in Boston, they're doing some repairs on the highways, and they actually have come to the idea that the repairs on the highways is going to cost them a lot more, and it's going to creep its way through the rest of the western part of the U.S., and it's a strange reason that all these highway repairs are going to start costing more, and the reason is the concrete barriers that are keeping people from running off the side of the road and keeping people from jumping the medians, going into the other lanes. With all of the new SUVs, the barriers are too low. They're finding that when these SUVs are going 65, 70 miles an hour, lose control, they hit the barrier, instead of stopping like they're supposed to, they flip over the top and go into the other lane of traffic. So they have to go through and buy more expensive barriers that are actually 7 or 8 inches taller, adding nearly $150 million extra to the entire total of, you know, Massachusetts Highway Reconstruction Program. And that's just because we like big cars. And I'm a huge car fanatic. I look at, you know, I've got Car and Driver at home. I go and get Motor Trend. I read and read and read about cars. And you look at what we're doing here versus what they do in Europe and Japan and elsewhere as far as what the trend is. And we keep getting bigger and bigger. You look at the new Lexus that's out there, the new Mercedes is coming out, the new BMW. I mean, as a whole, Ford, you know, Chevrolet, everybody is producing SUVs, and then they're doing these mini SUVs, which are just like giant cars.
Yeah.
The BMW X5 is not an SUV. It's just a really, really big car.
Yeah.
That's what it's built on. And for us to be going that direction when, you know, there are alternative fuel source cars, you look at diesel engines over in Europe and the rage in Japan because they know that, you know, that gas is a fine commodity and that they charge so much for it, their rage are these little tiny cars. Everybody's driving something along the lines of a Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just strange that this is what we want are these big, giant cars. I'm not saying that, you know, that everybody that wants to play in the snow over the winter can't have an SUV in the garage. But when it's 75 miles, you know, 75 degrees outside in the middle of summer, why are you driving your SUV down the highway?
You're absolutely right, Bill. 90% of the people out there driving SUVs who, you know, give you the standard line, well, it's safer for the wife and kids. When it's not, the minivans are the safest vehicles out there.
It is.
Exactly.
You're just embarrassed to drive them. I mean, I'll tell you what, when you go down to some place, a little yuppie breeding farm like Highlands Ranch, if you don't have the biggest SUV available sitting out in your driveway, then you just shrivel up like a six-year-old who jumped into a pool of ice water.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a guy.
How does the commercial go? The only off-road use this vehicle is going to see is when they back over the flower bed coming out of the driveway.
Oh, I've got a guy across the street from us, and he has an SUV, and it's he and his wife and their one son, and there's nothing that they've got that requires having an SUV. They don't go in the mountains. It's never been off-road. It's he washes it, you know, every other day. You look at it and go, why?
Yeah, it's definitely become the status car du jour, and, you know, eventually it'll be replaced by something else. But, yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, 90% of the people out there, I don't care what spiel they're giving you, the reason they've got them is because they figure they have to have one to keep up with the Joneses, and that's the deal.
Dwayne, we got to get out
of
here.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the call.
Hope you feel better.
Yeah, SUV, stupid, useless vehicle, right?
Yeah, I think that's what it stands for.
This is AM 1150 KNRC. And now, let's go to the newsroom. Tim McLaughlin sitting by, ready to deliver.
Hey, Jerome, thanks. It's partly cloudy, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Kleenex Tissues. Denver police say three men broke into a house in the 300 block of South Pecos on Wednesday night. One man in the home was killed, a second injured when he tried to fight off the attackers. Witnesses told police they heard the front door of the home being kicked in, followed by a gunshot. Police don't have a description of the suspects. Shoppers were out in full force today as they're trying to snap up bargains on one of the busiest holiday shopping days of the year. More than 5,000 shoppers flooded the Cherry Creek
Mall when the doors open at 8 this morning. The Colorado Retail Council expects spending this year to be up about 3%. The National Weather Service says the winds are coming. The National Weather Service says the fire danger could rise due to the winds, which are predicted to roar up to 80 miles per hour tonight. Possible power outages also a concern. Winds mostly going to stay in the foothills and mountains below about 8,000 feet. In sports, a fourth-quarter field goal and an interception of a CU pass helped Nebraska put away the CU Buffs today. Cornhuskers won that game 31-22. Colorado Avalanche will head into Edmonton tonight to play the Oilers, and the Dallas Mavericks come to Denver tonight to play the Nuggets. Germs, like the news, travel fast. With three germ-blocking layers, Kleenex Ultra-Soft Tissues help stop the spread of germs. Thank goodness for Kleenex Tissue. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Celebrate Thanksgiving with more drumsticks. Join CSO master percussionists and friends this Sunday afternoon for Drums of the World, an eclectic performance of hundreds of percussion instruments. The perfect family outing for Thanksgiving. Tickets start at just $12 for adults, $6 for children. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by XL Energy. Using a programmable thermostat can save you up to $75 a year. Visit the Home Energy Analyzer tool at xlenergy.com for more energy-saving tips. Well, now that the CU game's over, watch for a lot of traffic eastbound Boulder Turnpike. People will be heading back to the Denver area from Boulder. This traffic report is also brought to you by the 17 John Elway showrooms. If you went out of high car payments and the John Elway showrooms want to swap cars with you, you could end up making lower payments than you have now. Swap cars and let John Elway take your old car and lower your monthly payments. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy, breezy, and warmer today, 51. We do have high wind warnings up for above the timberline and east slopes of the Front Range tonight and Saturday. That does include Jefferson and West Douglas counties above 6,000 feet. Could find wind gusts up there to 80 miles an hour. Otherwise, into tonight, partly cloudy, breezy, 28. Partly cloudy and windy on Saturday, 59. Partly cloudy on Sunday, the high near 50. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 54 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
KNRC Market Watch.
Closing bell rang a few hours early on Wall Street today as traders took off a bit early to eat Thanksgiving leftovers. Mixed finish for the markets. Dow Industrials went up 3 points to 97.82. NASDAQ today rose 7 points. It finished at 1960. The S&P 500, though, lost a fraction to close at 1,058. This while the dollar fell to an all-time low against the euro. Analysts blame the ever-growing U.S. trade gap. 1 euro today was buying $1.20. One of the busiest days of the year for the retail business as shoppers got an early start to sniff for bargains, but Black Friday did little for retail stocks. In fact, Walmart lost a nickel, Target was flat, Gap stock gave up a dime. Better going for the airlines. As the industry enjoyed its busiest weekend since 9/11, parent of American Airlines rose a dime. Delta went up over a quarter. Continental Airlines stock today rose a half dollar. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
Yeah, that's the old smooth criminal himself, Michael Jackson. We're going to find out how smooth he is and if, in fact, he is a criminal.
Yeah, exactly.
AM 1150, KNRC, 17 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock or 43 minutes after 1 o'clock, depending upon your persuasion. Jerome Davis sitting here with Bill Thorpe. This is the Enid Goldstein Show. Enid had to do some power shopping. She's not here this afternoon, but she will return Monday, yes. Monday at noon right here at AM 1150
Monday,
KNRC.
Monday.
Right. We've been talking about President Bush's surprise visit to Baghdad. He doled out some turkey to the troops and told them to hold fast and steel their steady resolve.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. And we've also been talking about what's been happening in Guantanamo Bay. They've released a few people, but many more are still being held, and they're not allowed to talk to their lawyer. Do you think that's a good thing? Do you think the fact that we are denying people certain basic rights, even though these aren't American citizens for the most part, although there are some American citizens locked up in Guantanamo Bay, but do you think that whole Guantanamo Bay thing is a good idea? 303-382-1150. And another question that we've been asking is, how do you know when the war on terrorism is over? How do you know when you've won or if you've lost the war on terrorism? Are there any distinct parameters that you can relate to the war on terrorism? What do you think? How do you know when the war on terrorism is over? 303-382-1150. Bill, how do you know when the war on terrorism is over?
That's the big problem, is I don't think you really can, and that's always been my argument, is that how do you figure out when the war is over? You can't really put, you know, the analysis of, you know, Vietnam and World War II, and I think it's a lot different.
Oh, no.
Many people use the idea, you know, the quagmire can get involved in there. There are some things to look at, but it's the end game, and that's the thing that worries me most, especially when we start going after and targeting countries and regimes. And that becomes a very, very difficult game, because then are you going to say, you know, everybody that harbors terrorism, everybody that supports terrorism, and you know that we're not going to go after any of those, because if you would draw a list of people that A, support terrorism, B, harbor terrorism, or C, even fund terrorism, Iraq is not high up on that list, so it's a difficult argument to make that that's why, that's the, you know, predicator for us attacking Saddam Hussein. There are a lot of reasons to remove him from power. They just necessarily aren't the ones that were enunciated by the current administration. There are some very good reasons to remove him.
I like that picture that's circulating on the Internet lately of, I think, 1982 or 83 with Rumsfeld and Saddam shaking hands, smiling broadly at one another.
And I wonder if, while Rumsfeld was there, that if he ever asked Saddam how the torture was going.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing that I keep looking at, is the idea that we sit there and go, because that's the big humanitarian angle right now.
Right.
You'll always hear, well, he's a horrible guy, we're glad he's out of power. But you know, neither side, neither administration, when they had a chance, really was that concerned about what he was doing in power. And in fact, we, you know, shook hands with them and didn't ask a single question about how they were doing. How were the kids in the torture camps? You know, are you rounding up any people and you know, executing them based on religion? Is that happening? Are you know? And you don't see that. It's you know.
And many Americans are guilty of what I call selective amnesia.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, they're prone to forgetfulness, shall we say, if I can be polite in that way. But prior to March 17th, when the hostilities started in Iraq, did you ever hear the phrase, did you hear anybody use the phrase or words similar to that said, we're fighting to liberate the Iraqi people?
No, but there was actually, there's only one place that I did really hear. It's kind of worked its way in late in the conversation because it seemed to be the one that would play the best on the international and national scene. So it worked its way in, but that wasn't the reason we started talking about it. The one place that I did hear it over and over again was, strangely enough, when they were talking about, you know, this was Operation Iraqi Freedom. Mm-hmm. They actually at first were talking about it being Operation Iraqi Liberation, which isn't good.
Let me get that acronym.
Yes.
Operation Iraqi Liberation, OIL.
Yeah, and so someone that was smart enough in the administration went, you know, as soon as they put this in capital letters, somebody's going to recognize this in the paper, people.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be doing this just based on the extraneous nature of it, and so they did change it. But that's the only time that really the liberation of the Iraqi people was an issue. I mean, remember, we had no-fly zones across that country.
Yeah.
You know, time and time again, we you know, continuously since the end of the Gulf War, so the idea that we are there to liberate, you know, the Iraqi people from these horrible conditions, we had the military there. We had the power, the planes were there. If it was an issue, people should have been talking about it, and they weren't. So it's, I'm sorry, but you're coming to the table a little bit late if you're standing here saying, well, we rid him of a horrible guy. Well, where were you? Were you sitting there marching? Where's your Amnesty International sticker? Were you cared about it?
Yeah.
Did you march in any of these protests? Did you write any signs down? Did you contribute any money? What was it? Did you ever, you know, in your business practices, talk about it with your friends? And the honest truth is, no, you didn't.
That's right. And, you know, when you accept the premise, as I have, that the total reason for going to war in Iraq was over oil, a whole lot of things then become clear and apparent. For those of you who need reference, I would like to suggest you check out the Project for the New American Century. I think you can keyword PNAC on your computer, and you can find out some things.
Yeah. And some of it, I think oil is a reason. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's the only reason. But I think in my mind, I think that's why when we talk about the idea of who's funding terrorism and who's, you know, contributing to terrorism, who's creating the terrorists, I think the fact that there was oil in Iraq bumps them up the list, makes them a higher priority than if you simply organize the list based on funding, supplying, and creating terrorism. If we had to organize that list, Iraq's way down there. But when you throw in the economic advantage, Iraq slides higher up the list.
Well, if you think you know when the war on terrorism will be won, or if you think you'll be able to recognize when we've won the war on terrorism, which is assuming a lot, in my opinion, 303-382-1150. That's the number to call, 303-382-1150. For those of you a bit shy and reticent, we do have an email address. I believe it's bthorpe@knrc.com.
Yeah, then just reach me at bill@knrcradio.com. That's an easy one out there, and you should be able to, you know, spell Bill if you can't. I'm probably not going to be able to read your email anyway, so.
Give it a shot. Go out on a limb. bill@knrcradio.com or 303-382-1150. My name is Jerome Davis. I'm sitting here with Bill Thorpe. This is the Enid Goldstein program, but as I stated earlier, Enid has to do some power shopping. She's not here this afternoon. She will return right here Monday afternoon at 12 o'clock.
Some stations brag about serving 35 states. We're proud to serve Denver. Local radio, AM 1150, KNRC.
The Prefab 4 are monkeying around again. Now you can own the complete second season of this television classic on DVD. Remastered in 5.1 digital surround sound. With hours of special features, including the Monkees TV special, 33.5 revolutions per monkey. Separate commentary tracks by all four Monkees. Interviews, classic commercials, and much more. Pick up your complete second season of the Monkees on DVD. In stores November 18th.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Buy T3, now on DVD, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It is time.
Mankind's only hope for survival.
Judgment Day is inevitable.
Is in the hands of one machine. And on a fully loaded DVD, create your own explosive effects. See revealing new footage, plus a special introduction with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I've been explaining to you the staging of it, the planning, the writing.
Buy Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, now on DVD.
You enjoyed this movie.
Rated R for strong sci-fi violence and action, and for language and brief nudity. Bonus material not rated.
The K
KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, this is Bill Thorpe, and volunteers are needed to work part-time with international teams from around the world. Pacific Intercultural Exchange is looking for outgoing, friendly, responsible individuals to work with teams and families as representatives. You'll match students with families using an informal home visit to determine some common interests and lifestyles. Expand your world by becoming an area representative or hosting an exchange student. Call 1-800-894-7633. That's 1-800-894-7633.
3-day special at AutoZone this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday only. Get wiper blades starting at just $199 each. That's up to 40% off. Limit 2 this weekend only at AutoZone.
Tune in Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon for Style Matters, sponsored locally by Aspen Grove, where life meets style. Style Matters is a weekly discussion of the Denver lifestyle as it relates to fashion and style. Style Matters is hosted by Judy Schwartz and E. Blenda Ehrman of the Style Matters column in the Rocky Mountain News. Saturdays 10 to noon, tune in to Style Matters for discussions about fashion, style, and local shopping. Sponsored by Aspen Grove. Shopping Colorado style. Now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
Who's the black private dude with the sassy machine gun and shoes?
Enid!
Damn right. Kinda, sorta. But I can dig it. Yeah, Justin is handling it over there on the other side of the glass. He remembered, you know, I was kind of irked. You know, Rolling Stone came out with their 500 best albums of all time. Yeah. And Shaft was nowhere to be found.
Nope, nowhere on the list.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood wasn't there either.
Nope,
I can get past
either.
That. But Shaft, the man won an Academy Award.
Yeah,
how can
good.
You not have Shaft as one of the 500 best albums of all time?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, Madonna
people,
won a Golden Globe, but, you know.
I knew people who didn't even have record players that had the Shaft album. You know, it was that
funny.
Ubiquitous. Yeah, you know.
It's sitting there with a needle trying to play it real quickly at home, spinning it around.
Hey, 303-382-1150. We've been talking about other things other than the bemoaning the fact that Isaac Hayes didn't make that 500 best albums list in Rolling Stones. We've been talking about President Bush's surprise visit to Baghdad to help dole out some turkey to the troops and offer a little morale. Actually, it was more than just a little morale. He gave a big morale boost. I'm not a Bush fan, but I thought it was a pretty good move on his part.
Yeah.
What do you think, listeners? 303-382-1150. Hey, you think he'll be pulling it off in Afghanistan anytime soon?
I don't think so.
That's Bill Thorpe, by the way.
I'm not so certain that he's going to, because there's a whole different
reason.
Won't
be a surprise then.
No, and I, you know, the idea of going in there and the PR, the plus, you know, as far as the movement and what he's able to do with the media and everything else, and you kind of miss the window. And if he goes into Afghanistan, I mean, you know, there's a whole different situation, and I don't think that we really want to focus on Afghanistan right now, because that's become, if you really look at what's happening within the country, it's changed from when we, you know, basically left it and went into Iraq and focused over there. It's becoming a much more dangerous area. All the warlords, you know, the Tora Bora region, all the people that we were pushing out and saying we've now defeated Al-Qaeda, because the American military might is not concentrated there anymore. Mm-hmm. They're back in power. Those people are back controlling the situation. And so, you know, you do have the central part of Afghanistan being controlled by one of our friends, but you do not have the outskirts of Afghanistan being controlled by people that are friendly to us, and we in no way, shape, or form want to highlight that. We simply don't.
You know, I'm hoping the president will make some surprise visits to some other hostile environments. I'm hoping that he'll make a surprise visit to the south side of Chicago ghettos and offer some support there. I'm hoping he'll visit some of the decrepit Indian reservations, and more about that in the 2 o'clock hour of the program. I'm hoping he'll visit some Indian reservations and some morale boosting efforts there. I'm hoping he'll visit other domestic hostile environments and see how he fares there.
I don't know if that'll happen. Not until we get closer to the election. And again, it's, you know, it's partially it's a good PR. It's a nice move, and he did it, you know, for some good reasons. It's a good boost for the troops. They're not, you know, they're not with their families, things like that. But I don't know. You know, you gotta wonder at times how far this is going to go.
And the other question that we've been putting out there is, how will we know when the war on terrorism is over? There is no clearly defined enemy. I mean, You know, thank you very much, Justin. he knows when the war on terrorism will be over.
Okay.
When we're told it's over, is what he said.
That may be it.
That might be it, yeah.
We were told we were at war with the terrorists, and now we were told that we're, you know, because we didn't go after necessarily the guys that were just perpetrated 9/11. We wanted to go after all of them.
Okay.
That's a big list.
So we can ask another question. We've answered that one. We now know when the war on terrorism will be over, when we're told it's over. 303-382-1150. How do you feel about President Bush's surprise visit to Baghdad yesterday? Do you think it was a good move? Do you think it was a bad move? Do you hope he'd stay in Baghdad? I don't know. You know, they could use his wisdom over there. I hear they're having trouble with that Iraqi governing council, and you know, maybe Mr. Bush can show him how to pull it off over there like he pulled it off over here.
That may be. That may, you know, there could be an issue as far as, you know, what's going on over there, and can how much does his appearance really mean? I mean,
they're supposed to have free elections over in Iraq, right? Just like we got over here, right?
Well, and we all know that they're not going to be free elections in Iraq simply because if the Iraqi citizens remember that the majority of the population is Shiite Muslim, so it's close to the governing of Iran. So they want a theocracy. They believe that governing power and that rules come from the Quran. That's what they're looking for. They basically want a theocracy. They want the church to also be in power of the state, and that to them makes the most sense. And if they devised, and if they voted tomorrow, next week, 6 months from now, for a basic theocracy, we would sit there and go, no, wait.
Exactly.
Let them choose.
That's the crux right there. The majority of the people in Iraq want a theocracy, but the American administration is hell-bent on preventing that from happening.
Oh, yeah, we will not.
So I don't see a middle ground in there.
No, there's not going to be. And unfortunately, that's going to be one of the things that when you were looking at the planning, I mean, they planned this war beautifully. They'd been doing it for about 12, 15 years because there always had been, you know, the Project for New America and a whole bunch of other things as far as what they were doing and where they were looking for. And they've been talking about that. And you look at what their plan was. They had been planning how to remove Saddam for years. The problem was nobody, when they were sitting around having the keggers at night, nobody ever said, dude, what do we do with it when we're done? Yeah. I mean, they never figured it out.
And that's what I had heard recently. You know, you hear a lot of people making the argument that if we wanted the oil, why didn't we grab it with Bush 1 was over there, and, you know, during the Persian Gulf War. What was that, Desert Storm?
Yep.
And the reason that I've heard from other members of the former Bush 1 administration is we didn't want to open up the can of worms that's being opened up right now.
That could be a very good argument. And, you know, we did think that Saddam was going to be pushed out by his own people, and we thought there were some insurgents there, that the Shiites were going to, from the south, were going to you know, rise up. But the Shiites were also under the impression that we were going to supply them with weapons and training and military might, and we didn't. We let them go. So they question our sincerity as well. There's a legitimate question on the ground of America's sincerity to rebuild Iraq, because they've been through the idea of America coming in to liberate them before, and they didn't see us follow through. So there's a lot of questions on the ground.
Yeah, I'd heard the most serious injuries that American troops would suffer would be from tripping over all the roses that were going to be thrown at their feet. 303-382-1150. This is AM 1150 KNRC. Jerome Davis sitting in for Enid Goldstein. Bill Thorpe is helping me out. When we come back in hour number three, it's going to be all about Sand Creek. You will join us, won't you?
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the 17 John Elway Showrooms. DIA officials are getting ready for one of the busiest travel weekends of the year. Thousands of travelers expected to pass through DIA Sunday as they return from the long Thanksgiving weekend. Mike Fearberg with the Transportation Safety Agency says all available resources are being activated to handle the crowds.
A lot of additional people, not screeners, but administrative people who don't normally work the screening lines will be out there trying to make sure that people get through as quickly as possible. Things like line management, making sure people are getting into the proper lines, making sure that they are ready for the screening process before they get to the checkpoint.
Fearberg says anyone traveling this weekend should be prepared for delays during every step of the process and should arrive at least 2 hours early. Officials say if you have to pass through security, have your coat off, your electronic equipment available for inspection, and ID ready when you reach those checkpoints. Police in Colorado Springs are searching for a 23-year-old mother who's been missing since Tuesday night. Jennifer Lee Bowers was last seen at a bartending class at 9:30 in the evening near 6500 North North Academy Boulevard. Her purse and its contents were found the next morning in the building's parking lot. She's white, about 5 feet 8 inches tall, weighs about 170 pounds, and has sandy blonde hair and brown eyes. Her car, which is also missing, is a 1995 Forest Green Plymouth Voyager or Dodge Caravan with Colorado plate number KCH7823. Retailers are hoping an improved economy means more spending this holiday season. Shoppers were out in force at area stores this morning, hoping to cash in on the holiday sales. Zelma Thacker was among the people in the crowds shopping early and scoring great bargains.
I found an Armani fabric, and the jacket, the skirt had been like $200 or $300 or something. I got it for $85, and the jacket had been, I think, $500 and something, and I got it for $193. So that was a wonderful buy.
Cherry Creek Mall managers say more than 5,000 shoppers flooded through their doors about 8 this morning. Some stores like Walmart, Kmart, Target opened at 5. Nationally, retail sales are projected to be up at least 5%. Locally, though, the Colorado Retail Council says the state's economic recovery is trailing the rest of the nation. Sales only expected to be up by about 3% in Colorado. Just hours after President Bush left Iraq, another U.S. soldier from the 101st Airborne Division was killed during a mortar attack. Hostile fire hit the division's headquarters in Mosul, located in one of Saddam Hussein's former palaces. The sobering news comes after President Bush lifted the spirits of several hundred troops stationed in Iraq with a surprise Thanksgiving visit. Bush is the first sitting U.S. president to visit Iraq. A new study by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says some SUVs may not perform well in low-speed crashes. The Institute tested 9 new mid-sized sport utility vehicles, and 8 of them earned poor or marginal ratings for bumper performance in fender benders. The 2003 Honda Pilot was the lone acceptable performer in the tests, with an average damage amount of $404. The 2003 Kia Sorento was the worst performer, averaging $1,646 in damage per test, slightly more than the 2004 Cadillac SRX, which came in at $1,644 per test. Scientists have made a significant breakthrough in learning about the cause of heart attacks. Researchers at the Cleveland Clinic have found a mutation of the gene MEF2A in one family directly related to coronary heart disease and heart attacks. While it is unlikely an identical mutation will be found in another family, scientists are hopeful they will be able to find smaller mutations of the gene and prevent heart attacks. In sports, the CU Buffs had the lead going into the fourth quarter today against Nebraska, but 10 unanswered points by the Cornhuskers gave them the win 31-22 over the Buffaloes. Colorado Avalanche skate into Edmonton tonight for a game with the Oilers. The Avs are coming off their overtime win in Calgary last night. The 8-5 Denver Nuggets take on the 10-5 Dallas Mavericks tonight at the Pepsi Center. Denver Broncos head into Oakland this Sunday. Denver quarterback Jake Plummer says his days with the Arizona Cardinals give him some insight into how desperate the Raiders will be on Sunday.
I've been in this position, you know, where you're out of the playoffs. I've been in their position where you look to just, you know, try to win whatever game you can, especially a big game like, you know, against your rivals, against the Broncos. So, you know, they're going to be ready to play.
The 6-5 Broncos need a win to keep their playoff hopes alive. Still driving a car with big payments? The 17 John Elway showrooms want to swap cars with you. You'll end up making lower payments and have a new car. Let John Elway take your old car and lower your monthly payments. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Do you know the difference between customizing an opening to fit a door and customizing a door to fit an opening? Call Colorado Door Connection at 303-425-3366. They'll explain. From structural integrity to financial sense, this is a question you cannot afford to overlook when considering the doors in your home. Since the door is the first impression made to your home or room, and you know the saying, you only get one chance to make a first impression, Colorado Door Connection will help you make the best impression possible through excellent service and quality products. Call now and receive a free handle set valued at $160 with a purchase of $600 or more. Colorado Door Connection. Visit our showroom at 9710. West 50th Avenue, just off I-70 and Kipling, or call 303-425-3366. Don't put your home's doors on the back burner any longer. The holidays and holiday guests are fast approaching, so visit Colorado Door Connection today.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Bank One. Stop by Bank One to get maximum strength checking. Now maximum strength checking comes with free online bill pay on qualifying accounts, so stop by Bank One today. We're now seeing a lot of traffic on the Boulder Turnpike from Boulder into Denver. That's because that CU game is now over and everybody's heading on home. This traffic report's also service of John Grisham's bestseller, Bleachers. Here, John Grisham read his latest New York Times bestseller, Bleachers, now available unabridged on cassette and CD wherever audiobooks are sold. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. High wind warning in effect for the east slopes of the Front Range tonight and Saturday. That does include Jefferson and West Douglas counties above 6,000 feet. And it's going to be breezy for all areas through this afternoon, partly cloudy 51. Also breezy tonight, partly cloudy 28, but a windy day on Saturday, partly cloudy and warm 59. Cooling it down a little bit on Sunday, partly cloudy, a high near 50. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 54 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
Yes, the Enid Goldstein Show continues, sans Enid Goldstein. My name is Jerome Davis. I'm sitting in for Miss Goldstein this afternoon. Bill Thorpe is helping me out. No need to fret and worry. Enid Goldstein will be right here Monday afternoon at 12 o'clock noon, and hopefully you'll be here with her. The only live talk radio in Denver, if I'm not mistaken, at that time, is AM 1150 KNRC.
I think so. I think you know, Tom Martino does his thing as well as live, but he's not really local, unfortunately.
Okay.
You know, he is doing some national
stuff.
There's
always an asterisk.
Yes,
you know,
there's an asterisk
thing.
There. Yeah,
you know,
that
he's local, but...
Yeah, it's almost, you know, like saying that, you know, Rush does live radio from Florida. It's not really it, because he's doing a national show, and of course, it's by the time you hear it here,
so
it's tape-delayed.
That's not even worthy of an asterisk.
Yeah, well, it's tape-delayed. I mean, it's not even live.
See?
So.
Yeah. So they need two asterisks to tell them it's not even live and it's not even local. Just about 8 minutes after 2 o'clock, it's a Friday afternoon, the 28th day of November. And the 29th day of November is a day of infamy, if you want to be precise, with regard to American history. Those of you who may not be familiar with the Sand Creek Massacre, it happened not too far from where we're sitting.
Yeah.
29th day of November in 1864. Gee, I don't know how to approach this. You know, this is a rather somber event in American history. Not too many Americans are aware of it. Many more Americans that are aware of it would like to forget it. And Denver is integral with regard to the Sand Creek story, the militia. For those of you who don't know, maybe perhaps I better go into a little bit of background information. It was the discovery of gold in 1858 and 1859 on the South Platte River that led to a massive influx of white fortune seekers into the buffalo hunting grounds of the Plains tribes. For those of you who may not remember, this used to be the hunting grounds of many Native American tribes. The Kansas to Colorado Trail running directly through Cheyenne and Arapaho territory. These Indians refused to relocate to reservations in 1861, but Cheyenne chiefs such as Black Kettle and White Antelope continued to work for peace. They worked diligently and stringently toward peace. They went all the way to Washington, D.C. in 1861 to put their case to President Lincoln. President Lincoln heard about it and decided to give Black Kettle a large American flag, and he gave White Antelope a peace medal. Anyway, let's flash forward 3 years from that meeting with President Lincoln. 1864, Black Kettle and other Cheyenne and Arapaho chiefs traveled to Denver to meet with then-Governor John Evans. Denver wasn't a state then. It was just a territory in 1864. The Indians met with Governor John Evans and the military commander of Colorado, Colonel John Chivington. More about him later. On the day of the peace talks, however, while the Indians were meeting with Chivington, after the Indians had left, received a telegram from General Samuel Curtis, which was Chivington's superior officer. The telegram informed Chivington that, quote, "I want no peace till the Indians suffer. No peace must be made without my directions." Unaware of Curtis's telegram, Black Kettle and the others, having made their peace with Evans and Chivington, traveled south to set up camp on Sand Creek under the promised protection of Fort Lyon. Fort Lyon was about 40 miles west of Sand Creek. Chivington, however, had other ideas. He believed, quote again, "The Cheyenne will have to be soundly whipped before they will be quiet." Anyway, on the dawn of November 29th, 1864, Chivington's Colorado volunteers and regular troops from Fort Lyon, under orders to take no prisoners, descended upon Sand Creek. Black Kettle, Indian chief, believed there was no danger. He ran up President Lincoln's American flag, the flag that President Lincoln had given him. And to kind of underscore what he was trying to do, he ran up a white flag of truce under the American flag. Didn't do much good. The troops responded by opening fire. Well, about 6 hours later, there were at least 150 Indians dead, most of them women and children. Some reports have reports of as high as 400 people being dead. But it wasn't just the dead themselves. It was the brutality of the deaths that makes this rather striking, in my opinion, and some of the things that happened after the massacre that really boggle my mind. Anyway, we've got Don in Denver on the phone. He wants to get in right now, and I'm of the opinion that once people call in, we should put them on as soon as we possibly can. Don, you still there?
What's up, Jerome?
What's up, Don?
Hey, man, it's nice to hear you on the air again. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good. Did you have a good Thanksgiving, Don?
Well, I don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Well, did you at least have a good day yesterday?
Well, I had a good day yesterday.
Okay, that's all I'm worried about. Because if you don't choose to celebrate it or not, that's cool with me. I don't care. But, yeah, if you had a good day, at least, you know, didn't have to go to work or anything else and got to hang out at the homestead with the family, then good. I hope so.
Yeah, right on.
Don, I got a feeling that you're quite familiar with the Sand Creek Massacre.
Yeah, I am a little bit familiar with it. Okay. But last year I had a chance to go up to Wounded Knee.
Okay.
Ooh. South Dakota.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went up there and I prayed up there and I looked and read about the carnage and I could just feel the spirit of it while I was up there. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it was a similar situation where you had Indians ready to surrender. Yeah, they were ready to surrender to the, you know, the cavalry, and the cavalry just slaughtered innocent men and women and children. But I think that story has relevance to today because the same philosophy that led America to the new frontier today is leading her in Iraq today. Uh-huh. And that's why you have the situation over in Iraq. You have innocent men, women, and children. I think you gave some statistics that said 40,000 people have died in this conflict, 20,000 of them Iraqis.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Exactly. 20,000 Iraqi civilians.
Civilians
have died in the conflict, yeah.
Not Republican Guard, not Fedayeen.
Nope.
Not the special fighters.
Nope.
So I think manifest destiny never ended in the United States.
I was about to bring that up.
Yeah, and it's a philosophy that Europeans had the God-given right to take other people's land as they saw fit because they were like doing native people a favor. And that's the philosophy that's going on today, and that's why United States is trapped over in Iraq. That's why they never Iraq, and unless they go just like they did in Vietnam, running with their tails, their legs, and ultimately it's the American people that are suffering because of it.
Well, although we were talking about Sand Creek, I got to put the question to you, Don. When do we know when the war on terrorism is over?
When Ashcroft, Bush, Cheney, and the rest of them say it's over, and that's never until they get, you know, all of the money that they could rake out of the American people and out of the Iraqi people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bottom line.
Yeah, I think you got a good point there, Don, because I think that absolutely the idea of manifest destiny and because the might makes right, and we've seen that within the conflict and how we deal with the terrorists, and everybody sits there, and you'll hear this. I mean, how many times, Don, have you been involved in a conversation with somebody, and they literally will say, well, you've got to sit there and shoot him. You got to come at him with aggression because that's the only thing they understand. And I just have to ask, have you been paying attention to Israel lately? Because that's all they've been responding with, and the terrorism is not slowing down. So the idea that you sit there and you have to hit them harder just simply does not work and is not the way to go about doing, you know, this conflict.
I mean, with the success that they had subduing Africans and Native Americans and Caribbeans and people in the Southeast, you know, and that was the philosophy. Let's hammer the hell out of them. Let's get them to submit to our will so we can steal their wealth and their resources and set up American corporations. And they feel like the same is going to apply towards, you know, the Iraqi people.
Absolutely.
But, you know, those people have been fighting aggressors for 5,000 years, and they're used to it. They're not going to give up. And unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, man, they're probably going to be defeated.
Do you think the Iraqis or the Americans?
I think the Iraqi people, I'm talking about not Saddam Hussein, I'm talking about Iraqi people are not going to be occupied too much longer by American forces. That's my prediction.
See, and I don't think it's going to be necessarily an armed upheaval, but I think, you know, what they're going to do is basically kind of hang out, bide their time until the U.S., and they know that we get tired. They have a much longer memory than we do. They know that we get tired and we get distracted easily. And the feeling that I have is they'll hang out, they'll just wait until, you know, we do our rebuilding effort, until something else pops up on the horizon, something else grabs America's attention. Then we leave and they'll go, okay, well, now we've got our country back and we'll do what we want.
Well, they just got to be patient till June, right?
Because that's about it.
That's when we're leaving, right?
Yeah, that's about it, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, hey, man, beautiful topic today, Jerome. It's good to hear you on the air. Nice to hear you too, Bill, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Don. I've been wondering about Don because I haven't talked to him lately, and it's been nice to hear from him. So
303-382-1150, that's the number Don called. It'll work for you too, I promise. 303-382-1150. We've been talking about a few things, but right now we're trying to stay on the subject of Sand Creek and the Sand Creek Massacre. It occurred November 29th. That's tomorrow. November 29th, 1864. Over 150 Native Americans killed in a very brutal and grotesque kind of way. For those of you who may not be familiar, there are reports, eyewitness reports, that said that the carnage was of a rather grotesque nature. Women and children dismembered. Pregnant women having fetuses ripped from their body and the babies, you know, with heads being stomped. I've got an account here, as a matter of fact, from an eyewitness. This would be from Joe Kramer. Joe Kramer was a soldier, an officer in the militia that was commanded by Colonel John Chivington, that carried out the Sand Creek Massacre. Part of his eyewitness account goes like this. Bucks, women, and children were scalped, fingers cut off to get the rings on them, and this as much with officers as men. And one of those officers, a major and a lieutenant colonel, cut off ears of all he came across. A squaw ripped open and a child taken from her. Little children shot while begging for their lives, and all the indignity shown their bodies that was ever heard of. Women shot while on their knees, with their arms around soldiers begging for their lives. Things that Indians would be ashamed to do. To give you some little idea, squaws were known to kill their own children and then themselves, rather than to have them taken prisoner. But enough, for I know you are disgusted already. Black Kettle, White Antelope, War Bonnet, Left Hand, Little Robe, and several other chiefs were killed. This from the eyewitness account of a Lieutenant Joe Kramer, who took part in the massacre at Sand Creek. 303-382-1150. Chester from Denver wants to weigh in, but we've got to take a break right now in order to give Chester the time that he deserves. So hang tight, Chester. We'll get with you in just a minute. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Locally owned, locally programmed. AM 1150 KNRC.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapahoe Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Mendota.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Mendota.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Get a Mendota. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
Searching for the perfect gift this holiday season? The Saucy Gourmet showcases unique sauces and gift basket selections at the Junior League Holiday Mart at the Wings Over the Rockies Air and Space Museum at Lowry, December 4th through the 7th. The Saucy Gourmet's delicious and exotic sauces are the centerpieces for fantastic gift baskets personalized for any occasion, including holiday gifts. Your clients and friends will delight in gifts that burst with all-natural color and flavor and will appreciate your thoughtfulness when they receive a special basket. Get available exclusively in the Denver metro area. Don't delay. Place your order for a beautiful and unique gift selection from the Saucy Gourmet by visiting them at www.saucygourmet.com or call 303-270-9134. For more information on their holiday shows, check out their events page at saucygourmet.com. For Saucy Gourmet's delicious gift and sauce selections, call 303-270-9134.
How would you like to spend your next vacation with Brad Paisley, Bill Anderson, Little Jimmy Dickens, and Ricky Skaggs? Come along with the Grand Ole Opry. The Opry Cruise is sailing to Grand Cayman, Cozumel, and other destinations in the Caribbean this January, and you can be aboard, courtesy of Banquet Home Style Banks. Just visit www.countrystars.com for more information. That's www.countrystars.com. Brought to you by America's favorite meal, Banquet Home Style Banks.
You're listening to the sound an angel makes. An angel visiting the Salvation Army's website at salvationarmyusa.org. It's an easy way to buy a toy for a needy child or set up your own red kettle where friends can help those in need this holiday season. Make a donation to our new online red kettle and angel giving tree programs at salvationarmyusa.org.
The 25th Annual Art Reach Festival of Trees is now open through November 30th at the Wildlife Experience Museum, located 1 mile east of I-25 and Lincoln Avenue. Bring down the family to see the festival featuring professionally decorated holiday trees and wreaths. Admission is only $6 for adults, $5 for seniors, and $3 for children 5 through 12, free for kids under 5. For more information on Art Reach and the 25th Annual Festival of Trees, go to www.artreachdenver.org.
Funky, down, nasty.
Hey, listen to the man.
Line up with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Get over before we go under.
You heard the man. Got to get over before we go under. AM 1150 KNRC 303-382-1150. Chester is asking the proverbial question, if the U.S. is so bad, why do so many people want to come here?
There you go. That's my question. Can you tell me that?
Well, I'm not sure so many people want to come here.
Are you serious?
Quite.
Have you looked at the immigration statistics recently, how many millions of people are coming into our country?
See, Chester, I would side a little bit closer to you saying, yeah, lots of people want to come here, but here's the very definite delineation. Many people want to come here. How many countries are asking the U.S. military to come to their country and make it over?
And that's I don't know of any.
Okay, you don't know of any, and that's the important part, Chester, because the America presents two faces internationally, one domestically, one internationally. Everybody looks at what is available in America, and the freedoms, the economic opportunity is fantastic. So they're allowed to come here, and they're allowed to do that type of work, but they're not looking for the American military, and they're not looking for us to export democracy, because they know what we do on a national front is oftentimes 180 degrees away from what we do on an international front. So the rest of the world looks at us and thinks, yeah, you're doing great stuff in your country, but when you actually step outside of those boundaries and want to go around remaking the rest of the world, you talk with, you know, forked tongue.
And Chester, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying the U.S. is a bad place. What I'm saying is, it's far from perfect.
Well, can you name me a couple of countries that are perfect?
Can't name you one.
Yeah.
Can't name you one.
Name them.
I can't name
you
one.
No, he's saying can't name you one.
I can't name you one.
Yeah. Nor should we be looking for that. Nor should we expect them to be perfect.
Any country you talk to, any country you want to talk about is going to have terrible things that have gone on, things that people are ashamed of.
All right.
That should not have happened, injustices that took place, wrongs that needed to be righted. You've got a lot of that everywhere, but you have to look at the big picture. And what I'm saying, in the big picture, America is probably one of the most wonderful places on the planet to be, in spite of all the America First, We Hate America crowd that I've been listening to for the last hour. nothing. People are packing up, get ready to leave.
Well, you know, Chester, hang on a second. Talking about packing up and getting ready to leave, I'm sorry, Chester, but if I disagree with what America stands for, if I disagree with some of the things we're doing internationally, the best argument is not telling me to pack my bags and to leave. That's a rather fascist idea. Don't you believe that if people in America think that things should change, isn't this the country to do them? Because inside of Saddam Hussein's regime, if you spoke out against the country, you went to jail. That's the beautiful thing about America. Don't stand here and tell people that disagree with what the administration is doing to leave.
Right.
That comes into the Saddam Hussein rather realm. If you actually and honestly believe in America, then sit here and say the people that you disagree with, they are exercising their rights within America. And remember, there were a lot of people that screamed about change as far as civil rights, women voting, even looking at prohibition, that said these things should not be going on. Your argument then wouldn't have been, well, if you don't like slavery, get up and leave. If you don't like women not voting, get up and leave. If you don't like not drinking, get up and leave. That's not a good argument, Chester.
You need to back up a little. I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. You said none of us were leaving. You said for the last hour you heard Chester, you said for the last hour you heard people in America hating and said none of us wanted to leave.
Why are you talking over me? Can you listen to me? I thought we were having a discourse here.
I'm listening,
Chester. What I was saying is that I don't see people packing up, getting ready to leave. I didn't say love it or leave it. I didn't say you've got to get out. I happen to agree with you that if you don't like what's going on in your government, if you don't like what's happening in America, you get out and vote, you do something, you become politically active, you make a change at that level.
Mm-hmm.
As far as sitting around with all this wailing and gnashing of the teeth and calling America a bad, evil place to live, that's ridiculous. I mean, how can you live with yourself going around that you live in such a horrible country? And
where did I say it? What did I say, Chester? What did I say that America's a bad place to live?
Bad
never said
and
that.
Evil, Chester. I'm
never
sorry.
Said that. Never, ever said that. That may be your interpretation of what we're saying, Chester. None of us said that. Never said it was a bad place, never said it was an evil place.
Do you think it's the best place on the planet to live?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've only lived here, so I really can't speak.
I think it's the best place on the planet to live. There are a couple other countries out there that do a phenomenal job as well, that I could choose to live there as well.
That's right.
But the fun part about it, Chester, is remember, what we do nationally is diametrically opposed to what we do internationally. So you can see why the rest of the world does not like us.
What other countries are you talking about? You mentioned some other ones. Which ones?
England, Switzerland, Germany, Italy. There are some places there that there are some pluses. Japan, not necessarily a bad place to live.
Sweden,
there are a lot of other places.
Good to me.
You can go to the Netherlands. You can go to Belgium. You can go to Denmark. I mean, those are not bad places to live.
Right.
None of those things, I think, there are some trade-offs, absolutely, for going one place or another.
Like
even Canada.
Unemployment in Germany? That's a big trade-off, isn't it?
Well, we have significant unemployment here, too. I mean, you also
14%?
Look at... I know,
we
but look at...
14%.
But you know what? Look at what the worker gets within Germany. When you have a baby, maternity leave lasts for a year. The German citizens have said it is so important for the mother to be with their son or their daughter for that first year. They pay for it. That's a different change. We don't do that here. They also allow family leave. They also give you at least when you sign up, when you first join a German company, you get at least a month to 6 weeks off in vacation. It goes up from there. I mean, is the idea that we need less vacation? Is it going to make a happier worker? It's just how they treat the workers and what they're doing differently. You can argue about what their industrial complex is doing, fine, but you can also look at what's going on socially, and there are some different places. I mean, England, not a bad place to live. There are some pluses in Italy, also Sweden. You look at Switzerland, you look at the Netherlands.
All the paradises you talk about have huge unemployment figures, great big problems. Difficult getting health care because...
Chester, we'll go back to what you said. No place is perfect. We have problems here, too.
All right, why don't you guys change the topic a little and start talking about some of the good things we do, like the fact that we give more money and more charity than any other country on the planet, that we're some of the most generous people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else brought out that we use like 40% or something of all the energy resources in the world. He didn't bother to point out that we are probably the most productive planet or place on the planet that turns out more goods and services than anybody does. You know, we do a lot of good in this world, and people don't want to talk about this. You want to dwell on the negative.
Well, I understand.
Everything wrong.
I understand the idea of producing the goods and services, Chester. But remember that all those raw materials go from somewhere else. I mean, the idea that we produce a lot of the goods and services, we do it on a technological level, and all those things are farmed out. I mean, we don't produce a majority of the cars that are even driven on the streets here. They're done in other places, or the parts are. We take the raw materials from elsewhere, or pieces of them are put together in Japan and Korea and Germany and Italy and France, and then they're shipped over here and they're finally assembled. Here. It is a global economy.
And we're paying for it. We pay for all these things. We don't steal them.
Mm.
You know, we're engaging in free trade with the world, keeping people in other parts of the planet employed.
Free trade on some levels, absolutely, but not on all levels. I mean, we do have, you know, tremendous steel tariffs, and there are some other things. So the idea that we're dealing, even the European Union, they do not have free trade. I mean, the idea that we have free trade around the world, that's a misnomer.
Chester, thanks for the call. We got to move
on,
brother. Thank you. 303-382-1150.
I don't think Chester liked me.
Well, it doesn't matter. You know? It doesn't matter. It's all about free speech and dissent and all those other good American things. Pam wants to close the borders.
Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, good, because I'm on a cell phone driving. Love your show. Have been listening. I just want to know what you think. Why don't we consider closing our borders for a year? We have so much trouble with people that want to blow us up and all of these tariffs. Why can't we just close down our borders for a year? If the people are here don't like it, get out.
Well, Pam,
and I would like to know what you think about that. And I don't think that anyone who doesn't like it here should stay.
Well, first of all, that sounds totally un-American to me. You know,
oh,
the fact...
I'm sorry, I can't. I'm going to have to get off because I'll have to put you on the radio. I lost
right.
your transmission.
Okay. All right,
okay,
Pam.
Go ahead, Pam. We'll...
Thanks. But anyway, you know, love it or leave it. I mean, that sounds totally un-American and very archaic. And as far as closing the borders, I wanted to ask Pam, you know, specifically, what do you mean by that? Not let anyone in legal? Well, of course, you're trying to prevent illegal people from, you know, people from coming into the country illegally. But does she also mean that we should stop any type of legal immigration?
I now look at the borders too porous. I mean, there's no way that we can absolutely, unless we're talking about building a giant wall around the country, and even then, it didn't work out so great for East and West Berlin. So the idea that you have this giant wall...
It worked for a little while.
A little while, yeah. To a certain extent, but there are ways around those, and so I think it is impractical to look at absolutely closing the borders. I think that we just need to change our immigration policy. Mm-hmm. There's obviously a need, based on some of the illegal immigrants that come across and illegal aliens that come across the border, there's a need for a certain work, and there's a service that they do provide to the country that I think we need to change how we handle immigration. I would expand guest worker programs and some other things, but I think it's impractical to talk about closing the borders.
I don't know, man. I think the terrorists have won, you know, because, you know, we're doing things that aren't American.
Yeah, well, especially the argument, and, you know, and I did, and I know that Chester didn't like it, but there was an aspect of that. He said that people didn't like it, they're not packing up and leaving. And then Pam echoes a lot of that and saying that if you don't like it, then leave it. And that's precisely not what America was built on. America was built on the fact that if you don't like it, you have a mechanism for change. You don't have that in a lot of other countries. And that's very important. And to sit there and say, you know, America is this great place because we all have choice and we have the freedom to change our government, we have the freedom to vote, but if you don't like it, leave. You sit there and go, wait a minute, where's my choice then? When you're saying that because you don't agree with my platform, because you don't agree with my ideology, that then I must leave the country, that is probably the most un-American thing that can ever be said.
And with regard to that freedom to vote, there are a lot of people who dispute that.
Yeah.
In light of, you know, the last presidential election. 303-382-1150, AM 1150 KNRC is what you're listening to. We had begun this hour talking about the Sand Creek Massacre that happened November 29th in 1864. But we've gone off on a tangent as usual, you know. We've been deemed haters of America, I believe, that someone alluded to.
Yeah.
303-382-1150 if you want to call the haters of America, ladies and gentlemen. That would be me, Jerome Davis, Bill Thorpe. He's not an American hater.
See, I love this country, and that's the reason that I care so passionately about what we're doing. If I didn't care about this country, I wouldn't give a damn what we were doing internationally. I wouldn't give a damn about what we're doing nationally. Mm-hmm. But it's because I care about this country so passionately that I do care. I mean, if you didn't love your kids, you wouldn't care if they got hurt or not. You'd go, hey, go play with the broken glass, see you later, play in traffic. Mm-hmm. If you don't care about them, but because you care about them, because you care about this country. Yeah. That's why I have so much passion about what we're doing.
I just don't see how this, you know, the present course that we're taking, I really don't see how this is going to benefit us, you know, down the line. You know, I really don't. And you can see evidence of this in the fact that countries aren't exactly chomping at the bit to join us with regard to our adventures in Iraq.
I understand. You kind of look at it and think, I don't know. I mean, what we're doing, and I keep coming back to the idea nationally, internationally, what we're doing locally, and it just doesn't fit all the time because what we say we pride ourselves on here is not necessarily what we pride ourselves in exporting.
303-382-1150. We've got Doug on a cell, and we're going to get to Doug on that cell phone in just a minute. This is AM 1150 KNRC. And now, here's another hater of America, newsman Tim McLaughlin.
Not at all.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got carried away. Sorry.
Partly cloudy, 53 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by 1-800-DRIVERS. It'll be a busy weekend at DIA, and with nearly 4,000 confirmed cases of the flu in Colorado, workers at the airport are doing what they can to avoid spreading the illness. Security employees, ticket counter workers, and baggage handlers are all wearing latex gloves and using sanitary wipes to protect against the virus. Denver police are on the lookout for three men who allegedly broke into a home in the 300 block of South Pecos. One man in the home was killed, another injured. Witnesses say they heard the front door being kicked in and then heard a gunshot. No description of the suspects available. If you're out doing your holiday shopping, you're not alone. Millions of people nationwide are hitting the stores trying to snap up deals in what is traditionally one of the busiest shopping days of the year. The Colorado Retail Council expects retail sales in the state should be up by about 3%. In sports, the Nebraska Cornhuskers topped the CU Buffaloes 31-22 at Folsom Field in Boulder this afternoon. Colorado Avalanche are out of tonight against the Oilers in Edmonton, and the Denver Nuggets host the Dallas Mavericks tonight. Whether you're a driver in need of a driving job or a company in need of drivers, call 1-800-DRIVERS or on the web at 1-800-DRIVERS.com. The number one source for drivers is 1-800-DRIVERS. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:36.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett, and I'm inviting you to get your holiday cheer from Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, located at 12th and Broadway. Well, it's that time of the year with the holidays and a lot going on between now and the first of the year. And Brenda Francis from Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits is here with me now. Brenda, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Doug, and you?
I need your help. We got holiday parties, just any good time with friends. Help me out here.
Well, Doug, we pride ourselves on finding inexpensive bottles of wine that will just knock your socks off. Any occasion that you have, in any price range, we can find the perfect bottle or case of wine. If you're entertaining, we can work with any budget so that all of your friends will be impressed with the wines that you've served at your party.
Golden Triangle is very tech-savvy, too. They have a great website where you can view sales items and sign up for the weekly newsletter. Go to GoldenTriangleWines.com. And don't forget, you'll get a 10% discount off wines if you tell them you heard it right here on KNRC.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits. Variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8437.
KNRC News Time is 2:37. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by XL Energy. Using a programmable thermostat can save you up to $75 a year. Visit the Home Energy Analyzer tool at xlenergy.com for more energy-saving tips. Seeing a lot of traffic heading out of Boulder and into Denver. Speeds are going to be on the low side as people try and make their way out of the Boulder area after the CU football game. Also, all the malls are going to be really heavy as well. Watch for congestion in and around all your local malls. This traffic report is also brought to you by AutoZone. Three-day special at AutoZone this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday only. Get wiper blades starting at just $199 each. That's up to 40% off. Limit 2 this weekend only at AutoZone. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. High wind warning in effect for the east slopes of the Front Range tonight and Saturday. And the greatest threat of high wind will be in the foothills north of I-70, where we could see gusts up to 80 miles an hour. But regardless, it's going to be windy through Saturday. Partly cloudy and warmer today, 51. Partly cloudy, breezy tonight, 28. Partly cloudy and windy Saturday, 59. And partly cloudy Sunday, a high near 50. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 53 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:38. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Jim Condor here talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear the best in the city and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your flex dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your flex dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, International Optique is hosting a fabulous trunk show at Tamarack Square on Saturday, December 6th, with 15 of our sales reps showing their entire collections. It's like going to a trade show. If you can't find a frame at the trunk show, the frame doesn't exist.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, join International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
KNRC Market Watch.
Only a half day of action on Wall Street today as the stock market shut down 3 hours early and at the close of business. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 3 points. The Nasdaq inched up 7. The S&P 500 dropped a fraction. Very thin volume. Not even a half billion shares traded today at the New York Stock Exchange. For the week, all three averages managed to pick up ground. The Nasdaq added 3.5%. The S&P 500 gained 2%. The Dow was up 1.5%. On this very busy shopping day, a mixed bag for retail stocks. Walmart fell 6 cents. Target was unchanged. Best Buy jumped almost a dollar. A better day in Toyland. Toys R Us added a half dollar. Hasbro rose 4 cents. Mattel up a dime. Again, the Dow and the Nasdaq end the day higher, and the S&P 500 stumbles a bit. I'm John Wardock from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
Yeah, you heard the man. AM 1150, KNRC. 303-382-1150. That's the number to call. Dave has been waiting patiently. He wants to weigh in on the Sand Creek Massacre, which happened November 29th, 1864. Dave, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Not bad.
I can barely hear you, though.
We'll try to talk louder.
How about now? Can you hear me now?
You come in.
Oh, good.
Okay.
If I may, there's a couple things I wanted to mention about Sand Creek.
Okay.
There was a lady author, I don't have the book in front of me right at the moment, who wrote about historical haunted places in Colorado. And she wrote a chapter called Teepees in the Mist, and she states that it's been, in her opinion at least, documented that every anniversary of the massacre, teepees reappear, and you can hear battle cries and the cries of victims and gunshots. So that's sort of interesting on that point.
This would be at Sand Creek itself, right?
Yes, right, every anniversary, early in the morning.
Yeah.
And then another point I wanted to bring out with Shivington, it's disgusting. He's buried at Fairmont Cemetery.
Yeah.
You probably knew that. Mm-hmm. And he has a large monument.
Yep.
And it really disgusts me. I mean, I have family out there. But every time, you know, I see an American flag on his monument, to me that's a travesty. And I think you probably know of the history where after the massacre they did
the parade,
right? And they did shows,
yeah,
and, with trophies and
I was going to allude to that in a little while.
Yeah, I'm sorry I brought it up before you did, but
that's okay. That's okay, Dave.
But you know the idea, though, that as far as I know, he's still considered by people who don't know the history, probably Masonic, some type of hero in Colorado.
Well, you said it, Dave. Only by those who don't know the history, and that's kind of the purpose of this program today, to kind of bring the, you know, the real history to the people.
Well, I really, really seriously want to commend you both for bringing it up, because I'm amazed that, you know, people still would care enough to bring out that, you know, that item, and I'm very happy that your station would do that.
Well, thank you very much, Dave, and thanks for listening.
You too. Bye.
303-382-1150. Dave just got off. That means there's a line open for you to call in. This is AM 1150 KNRC. We're talking about the Sand Creek Massacre that took place November 29th, 1864. And one of the most revolting aspects of the entire affair, in my opinion, was the fact that not only were the bodies mutilated after they were brutally slaughtered, I mean, women's private parts and men's genitalia and other limbs and scalps being cut off and used as souvenirs for the murderers who took part in the massacre, not only did they perpetrate that kind of dastardly thing, but they actually had a parade in downtown Denver after the massacre in which these body parts were prominently displayed. They had a parade, and then they met at some hall and had a big celebration. I've even got an editorial here from the Rocky Mountain News of 1864 that kind of describes the event in glorious tones, calling it, you know, a brilliant feat and, you know, extolling virtues on all those who took place in the massacre. Of course, there was a congressional investigation a little while after the massacre, but prior to that congressional investigation, they were definitely extolling all the virtues of those who took place in the massacre. And the fact that they actually had a parade, I mean, you know, this kind of borders, This, to me, is the definition of bloodthirsty. I mean, it's one thing to actually perpetrate these acts, but then when you have a parade to celebrate it and, you know, display severed body parts in that parade, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, and I got an email from Dwayne a little while ago, mm-hmm. and we were talking about the idea that, you know, here in America, you honestly have to accept the good with the bad, and
you have to
be able to honestly look at the faults. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I love sports metaphors, and one of the things I always think of is that, you know, remember that there are a lot of people here in this town that bleed orange and blue. They love the Denver Broncos.
You mean there are?
Yes, there are.
Wow.
Yes, I know you're from Chicago, and it's, you know, more Bears country out there, but there are some people that just bleed.
Speaking of the Bears, didn't they play the Broncos last Sunday?
I don't remember that
game. I heard a rumor that they played.
I had a blow to the head, and I don't remember anything.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure it happened because the rumors I hear have the Bears winning.
See, that's what I thought it was a bad dream. It's very fuzzy in my memory. I can't remember that. I saw the scoreboard, but I can't remember what it was.
All right.
And many people forget that, and even though, you know, they may love the Broncos, if they think the Broncos are doing something wrong, they're the first ones dialing the phone number to complain on those, you know, sports talk stations. Go, man, we have to fire the coach, or don't play this guy, or don't do this, or why are they doing this play? And you look at that and go, that doesn't mean that person doesn't love the Broncos. It just means you have to have an open and honest assessment. And as long as we understand what happened in our past, as long as we are open and honest about what went on with our past and look at it with a critical eye, then you can't do anything but say that you love the country. For me, it's the people that turn around and say, what are you talking about that for? Oh, we're better than that. And you look at that and think, those are the people that, in my mind, are being the most dishonest.
Exactly. People who get mad at you when you bring up any topic surrounding slavery. People who get mad and call you a hater of America anytime you bring up any negative instance in American history.
Absolutely.
But, you know, history isn't just good. History is a combination of good and bad. And, you know, I believe, I don't know who said it or where the old saying comes from, but, you know, a tree without knowledge of its roots and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And, you know, in order to go forward, you got to know what happened prior to.
Absolutely. And one of the things I look at with the idea of the Sand Creek Massacre, and there was absolutely brutal ways that they were slaughtered, you look at, and some of the reason that it was predicated was when they had some early conflicts, and when they saw the Indians having conflicts with themselves, they saw that, you know, post-death, Indians went by through the, you know, through the dead bodies and did some rather brutal things, cutting off feet, cutting off arms, scalping, things like that. But strangely enough, it was done, you know, after they died, not in order to kill them, and there was a religious significance. Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, you at least had to understand why they were doing it. They weren't doing it just to, you know, denigrate the people. We weren't doing it based on religious reasons. I mean, they were doing it because they honestly believed that when you met that person in the afterlife, you could identify your enemies because they would be missing a hand. They'd be missing a foot. That's what they were looking at. Whether or not you agree with it, at least there was a reason. It's much more difficult to understand the reason from, you know, the soldier's perspective, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. What, that doesn't matter what side you agree on, but to look at why these things were done, you know, it makes it a little difficult at times.
Another component of the Sand Creek Massacre, history has, there are many reports in the historical record of the soldiers right before participating in the massacre getting good and liquored up.
Yeah.
Right before the massacre. So, you know, that's something to take into consideration. Not excusing any kind of behavior. But I'm sure that the liquor, the alcohol consumption, probably fueled whatever base desires may have been present in the soldiers.
Absolutely. It makes it easier. And it's weird to see, you know, when you look at, and I always go back, one of the things I've always been looking at is, you know, General Custer's Last Stand, and looking at how that was done and what went on there. And
I think Custer was a victim of his own belief in white supremacy.
He just didn't think
that those stupid Indians.
Well, and how he did it. I mean, what he did is that he went down with a group of, you know, small group of men of a small cavalry, which at the time, very good cavalry, but they were vastly outgunned, and they went into a much larger group, and they thought these people were beneath them. They thought they were savages and didn't understand it. And these guys come down there with basically single-shot muzzle loaders, and they're riding into a group of Indians that have repeaters.
Right.
And when they've got repeating rifles, they know the muzzle loaders are great at a long distance. So if they were sitting on top of a hill trying to shoot down into the Indian compound, great. That would work out well for them. But when they charge down into the group and actually start to confront them head-on, the repeaters, they got cut down. They got absolutely mowed down because they didn't understand their enemy.
Not to get too far off subject, but they're also in the historical record. We also learned that there were a few suicides among Custer's men, and there were also instances of soldiers shooting each other rather than die by the hands of the Native Americans who were attacking
them. And also the idea of the violent last stand also didn't occur. I mean, the Indians rode through and slaughtered them. I mean, it was a very quick, unfortunately, very gruesome death, and it's not something that had to happen. It was something that, if we understood the enemy, that it probably, you know, there would have been a much different outcome. Not saying that the Indians should have been killed, but understand what their, you know, what the issues were, and, you know, sit down.
303-382-1150. We are acknowledging and remembering the Sand Creek Massacre of November 29th, 1864. This is AM 1150, KNRC.
Talk radio, both sides, AM 1150, KNRC.
You're listening to the sound an angel makes. An angel visiting the Salvation Army's website at salvationarmyusa.org. It's an easy way to buy a toy for a needy child or set up your own red kettle where friends can help those in need this holiday season. Make a donation to our new online Red Kettle and Angel Giving Tree programs at SalvationArmyUSA.org.
How would you like to spend your next vacation with Brad Paisley, Bill Anderson, Little Jimmy Dickens, and Ricky Skaggs? Come along with the Grand Ole Opry. The Opry Cruise is sailing to Grand Cayman, Cozumel, and other destinations in the Caribbean this January, and you can be aboard, courtesy of Banquet Home Style Banks. Just visit www.countrystars.com for more information. That's www.countrystars.com. Brought to you by America's favorite meal, Banquet Home Style Banks.
Nobody wants a soiled reputation, especially the finest hotels in the world. That's why hotels like Amelia Island Plantation rely on my 8-pound Oreck XL upright vacuum. Hi, I'm David Oreck. Try my Oreck XL risk-free in your own home for 30 days, and I'll give you my $100 cordless iron as a gift. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and get your home 5-star clean.
KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, I'm Doug Kellett. ArtReach is a Colorado nonprofit arts and human services organization dedicated to changing lives through the arts. Working with 230 agencies serving at risk or underserved children, adults, and seniors, ArtReach programs touch over 60,000 people in the Denver area. Support ArtReach by attending the 2003 Festival of Trees, now through November 30th, at the Wildlife Experience located at Peoria and Lincoln Avenue. For information, go to artreachdenver.org.
A hearty dinner loaded with big chunks of savory meat and veggies to fill you up right. Sure beats another frozen dinner. Make it Campbell's instead.
Talk to Alan Combs.
If I were running the Democratic Party, I would have the Democratic candidates for president talking about the need for border security, the need for airport security, the need to protect our homeland. Now we're hearing about possible Al-Qaeda attacks, but they're not raising the color level because they know that that's become a joke. I mean, the Republicans have done a very good job in terms of their image on security and military matters, but I think a lot of people do feel vulnerable, and I believe that that's not being addressed by the leadership right now.
Alan Combs, late night, starting at midnight on AM 1150 KNIC. AM 1150 KNRC.
The Cheyennes will have to be soundly whipped before they will be quiet. If any of them are caught in your vicinity, kill them, as that is the only way. Colonel John Shivington, United States Army. We are remembering the Sand Creek Massacre. It happened November 29th, 1864, not too far from where we're sitting, A bit to the east of Fort Lyon, which is, in the eastern part of the state of Colorado. I'm not sure the exact mileage from Denver. But Sand Creek happened November 29th, 1864. And I'm personally appalled at the fact that there was a parade after the massacre in which severed body parts and other noxious things were prominently displayed. But, hey, that's part of our history. America's like a human being, you know?
Yep.
There's good and bad. And for those who wish we would ignore the bad, that ain't gonna happen no time soon.
No.
Sorry to say.
And we shouldn't. I mean, we honestly shouldn't ignore the bad. That's part of it that, you know, to understand, you know, what's going on.
One of the greatest oxymorons that I've encountered is people who use the term good war. And they usually use that with regard to World War II. And, of course, there was the book by Studs Terkel about World War II, which was titled The Good War. But I'm of the opinion there really can't be a good war. Certainly not with regard to the settling of the American West, manifest destiny, as Don alluded to with his call a few minutes ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right that, you know, when you look at the idea of manifest destiny, and it may be, you know, we have the idea that might makes right and that we're the biggest and baddest guys on the planet, and that may be the time in which, you know, you don't really respect the biggest, strongest guy on the block going around and beating everybody up. And there's some argument for that.
I know exactly what you're talking about, because one of the things, you know, it doesn't irk me, but it does, you know, make me pause and scratch my head. When I hear people using, you know, you use the analogy about the biggest guy on the block. And when I hear people talk about how we're the world's only superpower.
Yeah.
Like that's something to brag about.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it, you know. Perhaps you can enlighten me, ladies and gentlemen. 303-382-1150. My name is Jerome Davis. The other voice is that of Bill Thorpe, one that I know you're familiar with. We are sitting in for Miss Enid Goldstein, but don't fret, don't despair. Wipe the sweat from your brow. Miss Goldstein will be sitting right here Monday afternoon at 12 o'clock for the only live local talk radio in Denver. So there.
Yeah. Neener, neener, neener.
No, you know, for those of you who've been going elsewhere, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the only place in Denver you're going to get live talk, live local talk radio Monday through Friday from noon to 3. I don't know. I heard some other guy with a substance abuse problem is on another station, but he's not even live.
No, he's not.
So the only place you can get live local talk radio in Denver is right here at AM 1150 KNRC.
Absolutely.
303-382-1150. We are remembering the Sand Creek Massacre. It happened not too far from where we're sitting. The early morning hours of November 29th, 1864. Picture it if you can, ladies and gentlemen. It was probably a morning similar like this morning, you know, probably a nice cold chill in the air. You know, they were out there on the open plains in the eastern part of Colorado, a group of about 500 members of the Cheyenne Nation, mostly women and children. And it's about 6, maybe 7 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden, a bunch of drunken soldiers basically come riding down and slaughtering everything that moved. That's basically what happened. But that wasn't all, you know. After the massacre took place, body parts were severed. Genitalia from men, private parts from women, fingers, scalps, babies, women, children. And then they were displayed during a parade that happened right here in downtown Denver, probably not too far from where we're sitting, right here at 18th and Lawrence.
Absolutely.
The Sand Creek Massacre, November 29th, 1864. A rather sordid page in American history, but it's a page that needs to be read by all Americans. 303-382-1150. We've got just a couple of minutes left, which is just enough time for your call. You know, you've been had your hand on the phone wondering, you know, do I want to wait? Well, you know, if you're kind of reticent, you know, you can go to the email, but we'd rather hear from you. 303-382-1150.
So I got to wonder, Jerome, so do you think that, you know, the idea of the Sand Creek Massacre, do you think there are any, is it an honest assessment to sit back and say that, you know, that basically at times that America wasn't all, you know, wasn't necessarily always wearing, you know, the white hat of the good guy, or at least, you know, when we were, there was, you know, that we actually have to look in the background, and you always think about the idea of those that don't learn history are doomed to repeat it. Do you think if we don't look back and honestly look at what went back in Sand Creek, that we may be doomed to repeat it on another stage later in life?
Well, after Sand Creek, you know, there was Me Lai, which, you know, could be another instance of history repeating itself. We've got about time for one more call, and I think if we hurry up, we might can get Max on his cell phone. Max, you listening?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks.
Max.
Only got about a minute left. What's going on?
That's okay. I just I wanted to ask you both a question. Why was Shivington out there?
Shivington was out there, from what I can understand. He was trying to pursue a certain political agenda. At the time, he felt that if he were to successfully pull off this campaign against the Indians, then it would lead to political office for him. All of this was before Colorado became a state. I think he had his eye on the governorship.
Well, can I recommend a book to you?
If you can do it in 5 seconds.
Yes, I can. Smiley History of Denver, published in 1914. You can find it at the Denver Public Library in the Western History section.
Thanks a lot, Max.
I appreciate it.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon, partly cloudy, 54 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Amica Insurance. Police in Lakewood are asking the public for help in finding a van they say was involved in a hit and run earlier this week. They say a brown van hit a man as he was walking near 13th and Allison about 5:30 Monday afternoon. The van then took off. The man was hit by a second car, but that driver stayed at the scene and waited for police. Lakewood Police spokesman Steve Davis describes the hit and run vehicle as a light and dark brown conversion van.
It had a lot of windows in the back, some witnesses tell us. It's probably a 80s or 90s model and a GMC or a Chevy van. There should be some damage to the grill and headlight area of that vehicle.
The victim was hospitalized with serious injuries. With travel expected to hit record-breaking levels at Denver International Airport, officials are doing what they can to keep the flu from spreading among workers and passengers. Colorado has had nearly 4,000 confirmed cases of the flu this year, thousands more probably going unreported. TSA spokesman Mike Fearberg says security screeners are always concerned about protecting employees and travelers from sickness.
We have disinfectant wipes available at the checkpoints to make sure